Steve, thanks. It's Bill Laffitt, Wendy Snyder. Obviously, it's Clash Wednesday.
Very good. Sharif don't like it.
Later on, Alan Alda will join us. He'll become MASH Wednesday. That's later on in the show.
I see where you're going.
Oscar the Grouch will be here for...
Trash Wednesday, Steve. That's later on in the second half. Look, I can see the wheels
in your
head.
I know, you know what? I can see
the wheels in your head spinning. That's
fun to watch. I was going to say something about Cash Warren will be here Wednesday.
That would be fun.
I don't even know who Cash Warren is.
Still, you don't need to know. Come on. All right. Welcome to the program. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Can I tell you, I've noticed there is a very high sigh factor in you lately. When you sat down today, and you used to do this from time to time, but now it's an almost daily occurrence. Things happen. Like today it was you sitting down, and then I hear this from you. Do you notice you're doing that a lot?
Yeah, because I just don't know what to think anymore.
Why do you say that?
I watched the President of the United States speak last night.
I did too.
And I'm getting sick of people saying he was so presidential, because isn't that expected from a president?
Normally, that's a given, is that whoever achieves the office of President of the United States normally seems fairly presidential. But this time around, people are shocked when he does.
He seemed very in control and very different last night.
Do you know why? Because I know why.
Was he sedated?
No, he may have been. Because he stuck to the cue cards. When he sticks to the cue cards, and I think anyone who can read would seem presidential under those circumstances.
But there was no panic. There was no anger. There was no,
right.
Although the constant scowl was tough.
That's,
you know,
just the way his face is.
I know.
I don't know how he changes that.
I see, that's why I sigh. That is what I sigh about every day.
I know.
I have to say I enjoyed his speech, because listening to what he said, how would you not like what he has said? I just want to see it come to fruition. Again, we're all in this together. So I'm hoping for the best.
All right. Every president in that position has to paint a beautiful picture of what the future could be and should be.
But he hasn't been painting those beautiful pictures before.
Right.
So I'm glad that his artistry was working.
Right.
He does have really little hands. And why doesn't he wear a wedding ring?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
And, you know, it was like watching a high school football game. Stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight.
It is a pep rally.
And watching the Democrats, you know, digging in and not standing up.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Mike Pence was looking in the background like a father figure going, that's my boy.
He and Paul Ryan both. And it's always the job of whoever the speaker. Well, I shouldn't say always, because sometimes the Speaker of the House doesn't get along with the president. But when they do, like last night, there's a lot of nods of approval. I wish I was keeping a meter on how many nods of approval between Mike Pence and Paul Ryan. Because anytime the president would say anything, good, bad, or indifferent, one or both of them would nod like, that's my boy.
But
now he's talking.
Here's the difference, though. And Paul Ryan did go through the motions. But you have Mike Pence, who's looking at Donald Trump and just approvingly shaking his head.
Right.
Yes, way to go.
Right.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You're doing well. Way to go, big guy. God, his hands are little. Why doesn't he wear a wedding ring? But then Paul Ryan, to me, and it might have been just the angle in which he was sitting, but he was doing that thing where he was kind of looking above Donald Trump's head.
Some of that. Right.
It was like, you know, when you try and win a staring contest and you stare right in between their eyebrows,
sure,
but it looks like you're staring into their eyes.
Sure.
That's what I thought Paul Ryan was doing last night. Like drifting a little bit.
You mean like focusing on the belly button so you wouldn't get deked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as believable coming from Paul Ryan.
You know, I'm not one to normally pray, but I kept praying last night that one of them did the Winona Ryder thing while Donald Trump was speaking.
Paul Ryan, my money was on him.
It's not a good use of your prayer time.
Right. I should probably use my prayers for better.
Especially on Clash Wednesday. Jeez, Bill.
But, all right, so the evening starts out. You get an hour. You get a solid hour of rich old white guys coming into a room and shaking hands and pointing at each other. You get an hour of that. You get an hour of guys entering a room, seeing somebody that they recognize. Remember Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High when he goes, I know that dude. All right, you get an hour of I know that dude. So that goes on, honestly, for 60 minutes. People who just, they see somebody, they're like, I've worked with that guy for 11 years. I will point at him and smile at him and shake his hand. That went on for an hour.
And then on the way out, I was amused by it because there were two guys in front of Donald Trump, which I would imagine are Secret Service.
Yeah.
They weren't very big or menacing, but they were like full blown in the camera.
Yes.
And it's like, if I was one of them, I'd be like, could you pull back a little? Because this isn't very flattering.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
You saw their big face.
Right.
I'm just really impressed with both of you that you took the time to invest in your democracy and watch.
Oh, of course.
I had to watch it.
Of course.
I skipped it.
Did you skip
it, really? Wow. Tables have turned.
Isn't it odd?
Yes. Were you busy?
I'm just beaten down a little bit.
Were you at Ruth Bader Ginsburg's I'm Not Watching party?
No, I wasn't. I was reading a book.
Oh, that's now that's time well spent.
I watch political TV all of the time, and
yeah.
I love it, and I love all of that, but I'm just like, you know what? He's going to say what he's going to say.
Sure.
People are going to say what they're going to say, and I just didn't want to be part of it last night.
You missed a lot of standing ovations.
Did I?
Oh, my God.
It was like
stand
church.
Up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. That's
if
what
you
I...
went to Catholic Church, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't kneel. There was no kneeling. But other than the kneeling, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down.
That's why I sigh all the time.
I did tune in just as the Democrat was wrapping up his speech. What did you watch that?
I didn't watch that.
The opposition speech at the end, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, which is never a good idea, ever, no matter what party. Don't do it. It never works.
Steve, has it? They always do. That's equal time. So has that always been a factor?
No,
wasn't.
It's not anything. It's not an equal time thing. The Democrats. I think the Democrats started it under Ronald Reagan. Maybe
did they?
That they said they were going to offer a rebuttal.
Yeah.
And then so now it's just become normal. But really, I mean, it's never a good idea.
No, I know.
And you put your people out. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or. Flood the news shows afterward with your address or with your points because you're from what I hear, the guy, you know, who was an accomplished politician and speaker, you know, it looked like another hostage video with people behind him or whatever. You know, it's just you can't do it. It doesn't work.
Wasn't one of those speeches what sunk Bobby Jindal? Didn't he come on after Obama one time and everybody just went out? Oh, we thought he was the guy and he's not the guy.
Yeah, he did a very bad one.
Yeah.
It's where Marco Rubio had to stop and get a drink of water.
Yeah.
Because he was,
right. That's right.
That dry throat thing.
Right.
But I can't think of one,
that's ever worked.
Joni Ernst did one from this Iowa senator, which maybe not too bad. But yeah, just in general, it just doesn't work.
Well, if you go back and look at it, please look at Paul Ryan, because he just seems to be drifting. Like, I'm reading his thought bubble, and it's like, what am I going to get for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Should I stop at Taco Bell and try that chicken chalupa, that naked chicken chalupa, before they take it away?
They wore the exact same outfit, by the way, your Paul Ryan and your Mike Pence.
It's called political blue.
It's political blue.
Really,
it's a
deep
navy. It's a deep navy blue. With a slightly brighter blue tie and a white shirt, but it looked like they said, what are you going to wear? Are you going to go with the dark? I'll wear the same suit. We'll wear the same suit. It'll look great. And then we'll just nod the whole time. We'll nod.
Okay. Talk to you later.
See you in a little bit, buddy. Yep.
All in all, I thought it, again, that term presidential comes to my head, but it shouldn't be that. That should be a given.
Right.
It shouldn't be. He was very presidential. I've heard it all morning from everybody.
Right.
He was, but he should be.
It shouldn't even be in question.
I know.
The guy who's the president, or almost woman who's president, whoever's president, they should be presidential because they're the president. Nobody should be even going, how about that guy just being like a president? Because he is the president.
I want to believe in the words of Fox Mulder. I really do.
I know.
That's why I sigh every day.
I think your sigh represents most of America, or
parts of America.
Let's say parts of America. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then your thoughts. You know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and obviously it's Flash Wednesday. We're at 312-981-7200. I have 113 of these, Wendy.
I'm good for that. I just stopped myself instead of saying, oh, my God.
No,
I went, oh, my gosh.
You can't.
That's what I'm trying to give up for Lent is taking the Lord's name in vain sighing so much.
Oh.
We'll see how that goes.
Last night, the president addressed Congress, and many people are saying that he looked very presidential looked and sounded very presidential, to which we say you're supposed to because you are the president.
That's a given. Yep. I am really getting sick of hearing that.
Yep. Yep. 312-981-7200, your thoughts on last night's festivities.
Here's Kathy with her thoughts. Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, here's the thing. You know what the problem is? He's not engaging. When you think back to the other presidents, I mean, you know, George Bush had that goofy grin, but they, you know, but there was kind of a light in their eyes and they would smile. And Trump has such a blunted affect that he's just reading off the teleprompter. It is what it is. The only kind of, I don't know, characteristic that he has is he's using his hands. He's always, you know, got to use the hands. But there's nothing in the eyes, and there's no smile. How hard is it to do that?
That is kind of true. It's, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul.
True.
Yeah.
And I'm not seeing a lot of emotion, but he was being, quote, presidential and serious last night.
Well, but that being said, the other presidents have done the same kind of speech, and we're still able to smile. We're still able to have some light in their eyes.
But not even smile. There's, for many people, your normal face is kind of a neutral face. Not so happy, not so sad, just kind of neutral. But his face just isn't always in a natural scowl mode for some reason.
Exactly.
The grimace.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was the model for the grimace.
Yeah. He was the orange grimace.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you calling, Kathy.
So welcome. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Let's talk to Ralph. Ralph, you watched the President of the United States of America last night, did you not?
I did.
And?
I thought the Trumpinator was awesome.
Because why?
Listen, I listen to you guys every day, and I love your show, and I get your humor because I'm the same age as you guys. Sometimes that humor goes over to younger generation. Listen.
Yes.
There's a butt coming.
I think we got to give Trump a chance. Give the man a chance. I think he's going to do great things. Give the man a chance. I mean, listen, he can't do any worse than what we've had for the last 8 years.
Has it been that bad for you the last 8 years, honestly?
I think it's been bad for our country. Listen, he's addressing the problems. He's talking about Chicago and all the killings and all the shootings. Listen. Obama came from Chicago, became president. They got Rahm Emanuel elected mayor of Chicago. He closed 50 schools. Did they open any new schools on the south side of Chicago? They could have got federal funding to help the kids get an education to get out of poverty. Mm-hmm. Obama did nothing to help the black community. Nothing.
I would like to see what Donald Trump does. Because, you know,
if he can make this a safer city,
I'm all for it.
Do it. Let's do it today.
Well, he's addressing it. He's addressing it. That's the first step.
Well, he's mentioning it, but he's...
He keeps tweeting about it. Chicago, it's terrible. It's a disaster. Well, do something. Rahm Emanuel said, you want to bring in the feds? Let's talk. So quit just saying it and rubbing it in our faces. If you truly have a plan, do it.
He's only been in there for a month. Give him a chance.
All right. It's been, but you have to admit, Ralph, it's been kind of a strange month. Even though he's only been in for a month, there have been
seems
a lot of
like an eternity.
A lot of crazy things have happened in a month.
Well, look it. Listen.
Yes.
He's not the status quo standard politician.
And that's what most people enjoy.
And if he keeps his promises and he turns our country around and he does something different instead of what most of these people that get elected to office do is give us lip service.
I agree.
And don't do anything about it in our country. Let's give the guy a shot at it.
I'm all for it. If he does this, kudos to him. I want to believe what he said. I want to believe, Mulder.
Right. Go Trump.
All right. Thank you, Ralph.
Trump went.
I love guys who start out every sentence with, listen. Because you're always going to listen. You don't have to tell me the listen part. I'm going to listen.
Can I tell you something? When I hear listen, I tune out.
tune out.
I'm a rebel.
I'm going to say that to people. Tune out.
Okay, now I'm listening. What do you got for me?
It's opposite day. All right, we will take a quick break, and then some news from Steve, and then a lot more show. Stay where you are. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, you want to take a shot? Why are we playing this?
It's got to be an Ash thing.
Could be. This is, of course, the music of Guns N' Roses, and we're playing it because?
Well, now I know since you said GNR. Welcome to Slash Wednesday.
It's Slash Wednesday.
Slash Wednesday.
That's what's going on.
You know, I was talking to my English teacher yesterday, and she always said, well, she thinks grammar.
Are you still in English class?
Talks punctuation. Yeah. She always refers to this day as.
Yeah?
My punctuation teacher.
Slash.
That's a good one.
I was going for Dash.
Dash Wednesday.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were just reworking Bill's joke.
No.
Either way, kudos to you.
Over at Channel 9 News, you know what they're celebrating, right?
Potash.
Larry Potash Wednesday.
Potash Wednesday. He's a real person, you know.
Stop all right. You know, when that lightning bolt comes down and it is storming out there, I am going so far away from you.
You'll be in my wake. You'll also get zapped.
You know, I actually woke up to go to 7:45 Mass this morning with my son, Michael.
Did you?
He wanted to go before school. He had a late start day, and we didn't make it.
Oh.
You got up for seven? I'd been up by 3 hours by then.
I get up at 6:30 every day, but I had to take a shower, and then,
yeah.
Late start day every other Wednesday, high school kids. Mm-hmm. Should be every day because high school kids can't get up.
Mm-hmm.
And we never made it to Mass. And we have a couple of people coming in the studio to deliver ashes. And, Steve, I know you partake in this every year. Christian Kuhn will be here, and he's going to talk about some of the mobile hotspots for ashes today.
That's right. Technology has hit Ash Wednesday.
Well, see, that's the thing. There was a 7:45 Mass this morning at my church. It wasn't just distribution of ashes and then you're out the door.
Full-on Mass.
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough to fit in a full hour of Mass before school or work.
Sure.
So they have at noontime, they have a lunchtime ash program at my church.
A matinee.
Yes.
Yeah.
A matinee.
All right. Wow. He's going to keep going all day. You know that.
Maybe into tomorrow.
And then there's a 7 o'clock Mass tonight. So here's my question.
Yeah.
We have Christian Kuhn and Father Tom Hurley from Old St. Pat's. And Christian is the lead pastor at Urban Village Church. They're going to come in and talk about some honestly mobile spots that you can get ashes because you don't, you should sacrifice things for your God, but,
right. Not today. Now the church comes to you.
It
in the
helps.
Old days, you had to go to the church, but now they figured out it's better to be more mobile. So yeah, we've done this the last few years with them.
Yes. And so my question, I guess, is if I get ashes now,
mm-hmm.
is it okay to go to 7 o'clock Mass with my son Michael tonight? I don't want him to go alone. Are they going to go, look at this girl, she's so bad she had to come twice?
They will say that regardless.
That's true.
They have a picture of you in the vestibule.
That's a great word.
I've never said vestibule.
Congratulations.
I feel so adult. They're not going to turn you away. You're fine.
All right. Well, I was saying a lot of prayers last night for the people in Ottawa. I am. We learned yesterday and on various programs
mm-hmm.
in the past that you have a huge aversion to needles. I'm a fraidy cat of tornadoes. I know that's something to be afraid of.
Yeah.
But even when it's not really near me, I get my weather alerts sent to me and I'm freaking out and checking every second. And it's very rare that tornadoes happen in February.
Yeah.
It's not unheard of, though. In Illinois, National Weather Service in Romeoville said history is showing that we've had them every month of the year in the area with less than 5 February tornadoes between 1950 and 2015.
But the season, like what they call the most
April
dangerous,
to June.
It's April to June. So this is still a little early to be getting them, but the weather's been really warm, so I'm sure that factors in.
Everything's switching.
Yeah.
And there is definitely climate change. If you don't think so, you're cray-cray.
All right. I'll take that under advisement.
When I was looking at Twitter and getting all my alerts last night, I retweeted somebody who posted a picture of a giant hail ball, and it's in the Sun-Times today, and it's probably in the Tribune as well. It was a hail ball next to a baseball.
A full league size, a regular baseball, the kind we all have grown up around. I didn't think hail storms, like every once in a while you hear ping pong ball sized hail and you go, that's big. But a league ball.
And you saw the picture.
It's amazing. Just this big ball of ice that fell from the skies.
How many cars got dented from that?
I don't know. You know, the only time I've ever parked my car, not my current car, but one of my former cars, in our garage, because what was our garage, we've redone into a family room. The door still opens and closes, but we don't use it because it's a family room. The only time I've ever used it was during a hailstorm once when it was coming down about, again, about the size of a ping pong ball, but it was putting dents in cars all over. Yeah, just hitting them back.
You're like a superhero.
You know how Wonder Woman does it with her bracelets if you're shooting at her? I was doing that with a ping pong paddle.
Dude, you would have gotten coverage.
Deflecting hail balls. And after like 90 minutes of that, your arms get tired. So I had to park the car inside the garage.
All right. Well, I can't believe the size of that hail ball. And updated now, three people have died. Storms swept across Illinois overnight. A tornado touched down in Ottawa. It killed a man who was struck by a falling tree. I'm sorry. I'd like to ask the follow-up questions. Was he in his yard? Did it fall through his house?
No one's been specific on what exactly. I haven't seen anything specific on what happened, only that three people have lost their lives.
Because there were a lot of videos last night. Like, people really take cover. I know it's really cool, but there are professional storm spotters that will handle the video. Just get to safety.
Right.
Another man was found dead in Crossville, Illinois, a small town in southeastern Illinois. And then I believe the third person in Missouri, this has just been updated now. I can't find it now. But in Missouri, a third person died from injuries.
Terrible.
And they always say that it's usually flying debris that gets you or a falling tree.
Right.
So take cover. Eric has an idea for me, maybe to help my fear. Hi, Eric.
Good morning, Wendy, Bill. I got my ashes this morning at 8:45. But at any rate, I remember last year, Wendy, you were talking about becoming a volunteer storm spotter, which I am. I used to be a firefighter, so it was mandatory for us to go through the class. But they have a bunch of classes coming up in the Chicagoland area. And actually, check your Facebook. I instant messaged you on Facebook with all the information. It's put on by the NOAA, you know, National Weather Service. They have classes all over Chicagoland. They're about an hour and a half long, and you learn all that kind of stuff.
What do you have to do as a member, as an amateur storm spotter? What do you have to do? What's your job?
Just look for certain cloud formations. There's a lot of Latin terms. It doesn't really get all that technical, so it's not like you're going to be, you know, Tom Skilling or Ginger Z after you get out of the class. But they talk about rotating wall clouds and all this other kind of stuff. Different cloud formations that can turn into a tornado, and they talk about bow echoes and all that kind of stuff. So if you're educated to the point where if you see the kind of a cloud that is going to be really dangerous, you can, you know, call into 911. They relay your information to the weather service.
How will they understand me when I'm screaming into the phone?
Right.
I think they get a lot of that.
Ma'am, please calm down. We can't understand a word you're screaming.
All right, well, I will check my Facebook and look for that storm spotting class.
Yeah, it's an interesting class, and it's not that long, and they have them all over the Chicagoland area. Now, this is like the storm preparedness week, so there's a bunch of classes all over the area. So if you're really into it, you come out with a little bit of knowledge, and you can help your fellow man.
You should do it, Wendy. This is
It really is
for you.
Up my alley, Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
Thank you, Eric.
Alley.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye, Eric.
And then it was like you're hearing all the reports, LaSalle County, Ottawa, Illinois, and heavily damaged a nursing home in LaSalle County, and thankfully just bumps and bruises.
Right.
Because that you
Could
hear that,
and
it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep. Scary night. Now, we didn't have any hail last night, but the night before we had a bunch.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, was it two nights? Earlier this week, there was several waves of hail that would just come, and it would hail for about 2 or 3 minutes and then stop, and then 10 or 15 more minutes and it'd come again.
It amazes me to see hail. I know how it happens because it's really cold up there.
Yeah.
But honest to God, I have never seen hail as big as a Major League
Gigantic.
Baseball.
Gigantic. Really big.
Good luck to everybody out there, and let's hope this is not the beginning of tornado season. It was just a rare thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be nice.
I'm deathly afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
I grab my flashlight, my phone, a portable radio.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not normal.
No, that's not normal. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. If you want to reach us at any point, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It is Ash Wednesday today, and what is this now?
Music. Bumper music.
Oh, come on. You gave up already?
This we didn't coordinate on this one. This is just a regular song. Enjoy. Let's dance.
It's a smash. Happy Smash Wednesday.
That's it.
Right, and I'm the one going to keep it going all day.
I want it to go all day.
Steve, the first baseman for the Detroit Tigers will be by from 1973 later on. You know why?
Because his name is...
Well, you should just deliver it and not think out loud. I don't know who it is.
Norm Cash Wednesday.
Oh.
Norm Cash Wednesday.
That's coming up later.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm a little forgetful. I cut my head. I've got a big...
What, do you have a gash?
Yeah.
It's Gash Wednesday.
That hurts.
My God, why don't you take it on the road? Like
I
now.
We may have to. It may come to that, Wendy. Yeah.
I'd love your delivery. That was classic. I don't know. I have a cut on my head.
He was like, acting. He was acting.
It was fantastic.
It was good acting.
All right. I don't have any. I have a question that I don't know if I should bring on the air.
It's up to you. It's up to you. I'll leave it up to you.
Ask me, I'll tell you.
No, because I don't really like
politics.
You got
a text that was a little critical, and you want to know if we should explore the critical text. Whatever you decide.
Is it a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing.
I can look it up, but...
It's not glowing. It's not a compliment.
All right, here's what it is. First of all, I'm not knocking Donald President Trump. God, everybody.
Not currently. Not at the moment.
No, when I said I don't like when people say he's presidential because that should be expected.
Right.
I guess I'm
right
under that belief that he was presidential last night. So I'm not even really slamming him, other than he has very little hands and doesn't wear a wedding ring, and I'd like to know why.
I don't think those are slams. You're just pointing some things out.
Yeah,
that's all.
And then I'm sick of people calling other people that are Democrats or libertarians. There's a lib word, and they use another end of the word, a suffix that is not nice. I'm sick of people using those words.
Right.
Because that's just hateful and rude.
Yeah.
And there's another word that I'm embarrassed to say. I don't really know what it is.
You can see, you're not in any danger in saying the word.
I was called a snowflake.
Oh, I would not say that word.
I'm serious.
That's not a word you should be saying.
We haven't seen a snowflake here in months.
All right. I don't understand what that means, and I'm sorry.
Steve, if somebody refers to Wendy in a text as a snowflake, what do you think?
And everybody's calling everybody that.
I've heard other
people
refer to...
There are lots of memes.
Right.
Snowflake memes.
The word snowflake is now a derogatory term, but I'm not exactly sure why it is.
I don't know.
I enjoy a good snowflake. No two are alike, you know.
I heard that's not true. Go to Snopes.
Some of them are similar. All right.
But I'm serious. I'm asking what that term means, and am I supposed to be offended? Does anyone know?
I can look it up for you. I have a computer now.
Is it a white supremacy thing?
Well, see,
I don't think it is.
I thought it was, because I looked it up before, because I'm really, I might be giving up Facebook for Lent.
Oh.
That might be a good idea.
How about that? All right. Good.
I looked it up, and I thought it referred to somebody who's very white and perhaps alt-right.
I don't think so. I'd be surprised.
In which case, I am not a snowflake.
All right. Every...
See what I mean?
This is such a long... The Urban Dictionary. Do you want me to read you this?
Yes, because everyone is drawing
you're
a
right.
blank here.
You're right. I didn't draw this conclusion. The word snowflake, according to Urban Dictionary, refers to someone usually to the alt-right... And then they cite this guy Yiannopoulos, Milo Yiannopoulos, as a guy who would be considered a snowflake. And Nazi sympathizers, which you are not. You're not a fan of the Nazis.
Oh, my God.
Whose immense white fragility causes a meltdown when confronted with the most minute deviation from orthodox white supremacy. They often cry bloody murder when expected to give the most modest expression of basic human decency, just like a snowflake would do.
I don't even get that.
I don't
that.
Understand. Why didn't they go ham sandwich? Why didn't they go... Why? I don't understand why. I mean, I get the white... I understand that correlation,
right.
But it's... this is all a continuation of how snowflake historically refers to people who are against the abolition of slavery. For or against slavery, Wendy? This is a test.
Against.
Against slavery. Good choice. The Aryans have attempted to hijack this term to use against progressives and those who oppose fascism, but it has failed ultimately because nobody was foolish enough to believe anti-fascist registers to be, by any stretch of the imagination, comparable to the snowflakery of the Aryans and the Cheeto-dusted Führer. I'm guessing that refers to Donald Trump.
I guess.
I'm guessing. Well, I understand it less now that I've read the definition.
I was just going to say you confused me because I thought it was someone who's alt-right. I'm just alt-delete. I'm control-alt-delete when I'm trying to log on to my computer. That's all I am.
That's the only alt for you. Right.
But I'm not that. But now, from what you read, it's someone who is...
Can I interrupt you guys?
Yes.
Let's go to Nayplate, Illinois. One of the storms towns hit especially hard. Governor Rauner has just spoken there, and now the mayor is talking.
For the folks here in town. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry about that. We missed it. But the mayor was becoming quite emotional there as he was thanking Governor Rauner and those who have volunteered, helping them with food and shelter in the wake of that. That town hit especially hard in the storms late yesterday afternoon. I'm sorry I interrupted
That's all right.
you there.
That's
I thought
okay.
we were going to
no,
listen
no, no.
for a time.
That's okay.
That's fine. All right.
It seems odd that somebody would throw a text your way accusing you of snowflakery, which, according to the Urban Dictionary, would align you with somebody who is a Nazi sympathizer or somebody to the alt-right, certainly, when in reality the alt-right is a term that's all but embraced by a guy who is the chief advisor to the president. He is alt-right. So why would you use that against somebody criticizing the president if Steve Bannon is like the poster boy for alt-right?
See, that's why I'm so confused, and that's why I brought it up. SM, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
What is a snowflake?
When I came to this country, I came from Palestine in 1963. They were referring to someone who's a snowflake as an airhead, someone who's not a bright.
All right, well, that would be
that's
accurate.
Better.
That's analogy that I understood.
No, that's not true either. So,
I don't think you're an airhead at all, but that's how I was taught of what a snowflake meant.
All right, well, that's one meaning. All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
You too, Assam. All right, one more,
right.
And then we'll take a break. Hi,
right.
Jan. Can you explain it a little better?
Hi. My friends, we refer to people as special snowflakes either when they whine about something or, you know, like they think the rules don't apply to them, like our kids. Oh, I need to go in late because I'm a teenager. I'm so tired. Oh, well, you're a special snowflake. I mean, it's not like maybe that's what someone was referring to, not with any of this other definitions that you're coming up with.
The other political affiliations don't apply.
Well, they would be true saying I'm whining because I do sometimes.
I mean, that's how our friends commonly use it, a special
right.
snowflake.
I've never heard that used.
But why wouldn't they call you like a wine bottle or something like that?
I like that better.
That's better, a wine bottle. All right.
All right, Jan, thanks, you.
Thanks, Jan.
I'm sorry. I am so unhip with the common vernacular.
No, come on. You want to know what you're being called.
I thought they just meant I was very special.
I'm pretty sure that you do. I'm almost positive. All right. We will take a break. There will be more news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
Solid advice, Wendy. Always leave the gun, but take the cannoli.
I already took the cannoli.
And delicious.
I love cannoli more than anything in the world.
Dane Neal is with us from Access Appetite. Comes by every other Wednesday and shares the world of food with us. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Bill. Good to see you. Thank you, Wendy. Of course, I'm here also for the the Dane Neal show on WGN
Plus. Of course,
Plus,
people know that.
Upcoming on the road show,
right?
And then of course the other things as well. But not always am I here bearing gifts. Maybe the fruit of I think the top level of evolution for humans when it comes to sweet treats and the making of them. And as we, we're with Punchki Day yesterday,
mm-hmm.
right? So many people enjoyed to whatever extent they could that and kind of just reveled in the tradition of it all. And so today we've got Ed Leza here from Leza Cannolis. Now, I'm not sure, Ed, is there a specific cannoli day where everyone feels obligated to get cannolis, or is that something that we all need to work on?
It's just every day. Every day with a cannoli keeps the doctor away.
So. Is that what they say, Ed? Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Good, because I don't like apples.
All right. Apples aren't around all year round because they grow on trees. Cannolis are around every year.
Yep.
All the time.
I wish
every
they grew on trees.
I grew it too.
Every day of the year. Go back in time with me a little bit. I know your specialty is cannolis, but you did pretty good for Punchki Day too,
yes,
didn't
did.
You?
Yes, we did. We sold about 5,000.
5,000?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Everything from Bavarian cream to the traditional apple with cinnamon. And we also did some high-end gourmet ones. We did a cannoli punchki with a mini cannoli on top.
Oh, my God.
Turtle punchkis, maple with bacon on the top. It was a lot. Real nice. And fresh strawberry ones with whipped cream in the middle and strawberries on top.
That sounds so good.
Really good.
We've noticed in the past it seems to be a one-day event, but correct. The last year or two it's been like a week-long event.
Well, basically it's on Fat Tuesday. It's the day before Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Everybody gorges on Tuesday because everyone gives up everything on, you know, starts today, Ash Wednesday. You know, yeah. Get your ashes and you figure out what you're going to do for the 47 days of give up stuff for Lent.
You already got your ashes.
Yes,
I
did. Went to the mass this morning at 6:15.
Man, see, he's better. I tried to make 7:45 and didn't make it.
She tried. Ed, she tried.
It's okay.
We'll get a dispensation for you.
As you push the envelope, Ed, on the, you know, on all of those things, you said you had the punchkis, you had the gourmet punchkis. Did you ever consider, have you tried it maybe in the R&D, in the lab there, maybe doing like the shaved truffles or maybe like a lobster punchki, anything like that?
Perhaps. I mean, maybe in the near future we could do something like that.
Not your parents' punchki.
All right, take us through. The cannoli obviously started in Italy, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my grandfather came over here in 1905 and started the business, and I'm the fourth generation. And we currently have all the families in the business. My cousin Louis and his brother Victor. He's with the armed forces. Thank you for his services. Mm-hmm. His two sons, Victoria, works in the store at Elmhurst after hours after he gets off of school. Danilo is in the bakery right now with Louis' other brother Anthony. They're working the bakery. They're in charge of the bakery side. And then you have Sal, who's on the truck, who's Anthony's twin brother.
Yeah.
And he's out on the sales, you know, doing the delivering. And
it's truly a family
it's
operation.
All family. I mean, it's kind of a quick story. My cousin was out doing some sales with Anthony.
Yeah.
And at a local deli. And the guy's like, what's wrong with the other guy that's with you? He's like, why? He's like, I just saw him yesterday. Yeah. What's he doing? He's like, oh, no, that's his twin brother. Oh. So that explains why he's not talking to me. His twin brother was here yesterday, stuck in the freezers.
So you got the hijinks on the twin side. So you mentioned the history, the generations for Letza here, and undisputed the absolute most revered version of the cannoli on the planet is what you guys have. But for people that don't know necessarily how the whole thing started, was it, you know, prehistoric times? Was there like Giovanni Cannoli back in the day, and he had somehow he figured it out, and then boom, the cannoli was born? How did it all start in the beginning for cannolis?
Well, it was a Sicilian pastry. It's some people bake it, but most people fry it, and they fill it with ricotta cheese filling, and they put the garnish with green nuts on the side. Ours aren't green nuts, but they're flavored pistachios. Mm-hmm. They're nut free, so anyone that has an allergy can eat them.
That's not a nut.
It's not a nut. It's flavored pistachio.
Tastes like a nut.
Did you think it was?
I did.
Not. It's nice because people have an allergy can eat them.
I've seen people have these as an appetizer. I've seen people have them with their main course. I've seen people have them as a dessert.
Correct.
Just on
and we
their
also
own.
Sell a large cannoli, and it's filled with 40 mini cannolis. So what you do is you fill the middle.
Wow.
You
for
fill
that
the
big
middle,
appetite.
You fill the middle with cream, and everybody takes the little ones out. And then once the little ones are missing, then you break the big one and you dip it.
Oh, that sounds tremendous.
So everything you'd know and love about a cannoli with the excitement, I think, of pinatas.
Correct. Right.
How has the art of making them changed? Your family's been doing this for four generations.
We used to do them by hand with a broomstick. And then
that would be by broomstick.
But you'd put
it?
The dough around the broomstick to hollow it out.
Right. No. It was already the dough was like a patty.
Oh, and right. You wrap it around.
And you put a little bit of egg to keep it closed, and you put it in the fryer.
And Ed, explain to people who are interested in stuff like cleanliness that this broom was only used for the making of
cannolis. Oh, exactly.
100%.
It wasn't the one used in the warehouse to broom. Then they cut it. not at all.
No, come on, Bill, because I think that goes along the lines of remember the American Indians where they used every part of everything?
Sure.
I think that's where
you
use that same broom.
Exactly.
So is the taste any different from generations ago?
It stays basically the same. I mean, we have our secret ingredient we put in it.
What is the secret ingredient?
Leza.
Exactly.
Right, the love of
If I told you, I'd have to tell
Nobody wants trouble.
No,
Nobody wants trouble. And when you go to other restaurants and try theirs, can you tell the ingredients? Can you?
Oh yeah,
just
right away.
You
I mean,
know?
Little people overdo it with the wine.
Oh really?
Know, yeah. I mean, it's simple. You know, yeah. Allspice and cinnamon and secret ingredient.
Yeah.
Well, many times I think is it like 1,100 places around Chicago when Ed secret goes. If he tried it, he would know the difference right. because it is his, right?
Correct.
A lot of the ones that you're tasting at right. better restaurants are from Leza.
They say they're homemade, but that's fine. I mean, they're mine. You could say you made them in the back all you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
With a lot of foods, if people have them here as opposed to where they first emanated, like I've heard this about Chinese food, Japanese food, it tastes different when you're there. With the cannolis, if you eat one from Italy and you eat one from America, is there a dramatic difference?
Or a little bit of difference. Yeah. I mean, well, most of our sit-down Italian-American restaurants that we service, they fill them fresh, so the cannoli is nice and fresh when it comes to the table.
Mm.
It's the best way. I mean, and some other people also do it. You know, it's served frozen. You put it in a toaster oven, it comes out. It's the same way. But it's just, I mean, we have a new thing, too, that we're doing is we're giving them a cannoli pyramid that's underneath a glass shelf they put out. It's fake cannolis, but it boosts the sales because people are like, hey, what's that? And they try and grab one
pyramid.
And eat it, but it's meringue.
I think it boosts
Clark
a lot of other
host
things.
Did host a show called the Cannoli Pyramid in Italy for a number of years?
He did,
right?
The Egyptians did it.
They did it?
Dick Clark, right, before he came over here.
Right.
Yes, it was the Cannoli Pyramid.
Very popular show.
Yeah. And then also, too, is in the pyramid, doesn't it boost, is it your antioxidants or something, right?
Correct,
isn't it just the whole shape of a pyramid, I think, makes it even more
it's
healthy?
Good for you.
For sure.
Yep. Yeah,
definitely. Cannoli day keeps the doctor away.
Yep, that's what they're saying. All right, we'll take a quick break and then find out more about cannolis and other food. Dane Neal is here from Access Appetite and the Dane Neal Show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder along with Dane Neal and Ed Leza. We're talking cannolis and other similar foods. There's a big event coming up that people need to know about.
Well, as Ed would say, you know, every day is a big event when you can find yourself in the same room. I mean, maybe even at the same table with the greatest cannolis of all time.
Yep.
And but they're not ignoring some of the biggest traditional days like Punchki Day, 5,000 Punchkis yesterday. But moving on, and I think, you know, St. Patrick's Day is such a big deal here in the Chicagoland area. So many connections. You dye the river green. You've got the South Side Parade and, of course, the main regular parade. But the third biggest, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, the third biggest parade in Illinois happens every year in Elmhurst, Illinois, and it's actually coming up this Saturday.
The third biggest St. Patrick's Day parade or parade in general?
Well, third St. Patrick's Day.
Third biggest St. Patrick's Day parade
right.
is coming up. All right, so what do we need to know about this?
Well, it's coming up in Elmhurst. Now, talk a little bit about the parade route.
Yeah,
I know 40,000 people, and you guys will be front and center.
Yeah, it's right on Spring Road. It starts on the far south side of Spring Road, and it goes north on Spring Road to York High School.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at 12 noon promptly, and it goes on for about 3 hours. And there's all kinds of different floats. You know, you got the traditional Shriners, different politicians. And the big thing is it's really for the kids. The kids get candy. I was telling Dane earlier to get their long sticks, and they stick their bags out there, and everyone fills the candy
oh,
up.
Oh, nice.
You know, it's a really cool event, and it's a very, very, very big-time family.
Yeah.
And they're expecting beautiful weather on Saturday, so it should be good. And you could also come into Bellwood, get a nice hot chocolate or, you know, some cannolis or some punchkis. And we're also starting out with Zapoli, St. Joseph's Day is coming up March 17th.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I apologize. March 19th.
You have to wear red.
March 19th, we have to wear red. And we have a local magazine that's specializing with my godson nephew on the front
oh,
cover.
Look at that.
With the Zapoli in front of my nephew, I mean, godson nephew, Joseph. This is Tina Valentina's magazine called Neighbors.
Yeah.
And she's pushing the Zapolis for us.
What's so as we kind of like get this little team photo of great kind of sweet and pastry style snacks that we have for these holidays. So what's the story on the Zeppoli? I know that
Zeppoli's what it is it's called a St. Joseph cake. And to my recollection, it was made in honor of St. Joseph's because the Italians, it started in Italy, and they wanted to thank St. Joseph for the they
just
famine.
Being a great guy.
Well,
right.
He
no,
brought
no,
us
no.
aspirin.
There was a
there
supposedly
the patron saint of aspirin.
Patron saint of pain relief.
Supposedly there was a famine over there, and they prayed that they would get food, and that's why they would make all this food and more basically fish.
Oh yeah,
because that's what everyone's known for. They bring all these fish dishes, and everyone has their St. Joseph's table on March 19th. You know, people come in, donate, and they try out everyone's food.
Oh, that
food.
Sounds
but
so good.
Zapoli is the main thing. You know, it's a regular French cruller donut,
yeah.
cut in half. Stuffed with custard and, you know, put little dollops
my
on top
goodness.
With the cherries. We do quite a few of those, just as punch keys. It's probably do about 5,000 of them. People put them on their center dishes on their St. Joseph's table.
Yeah.
I think people put them on their mantles, right, and leave it up there, or maybe include it into your family picture, right, because it's beautiful. You guys are known so well for the cannoli, but you do all of these other treats, and you've got the gelato and the spumoni. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the coolest things is, you know, we can all say, hey, it's the best, and certainly it is recognized, and a lot of people share that opinion. But you've had some pretty famous people love the cannoli. Mm-hmm. In one particular, Frank Sinatra, who was known to love things that he loved and go out there and get them, like Rita Hayworth, right?
Yeah.
Right.
He would stop at the shop in Bellwood on his way to the airport and get some cannolis before he left.
Would people go nuts when Frank Sinatra would come in?
That was crazy. Back in the day when Blue Eyes wasn't, you know, he was very popular, but I mean, not
a
so
huge megastar.
They saw him as just a regular customer, right. You know.
I guess
I can't imagine anything about Frank Sinatra being regular. So could he roll up in the limo? Would he like, hey, give me? Would he just bark out some orders, or would he have, you know, one of his people? I'm sure he had a group of people around him, and all. He wasn't just on a motorcycle.
I wasn't alive when that was happening, but I'm sure he came, you know, either sent someone or himself came.
Got out of the car and came and picked them out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. We've sent Peter Lawford in. Cold outside. Lawford, you go get the
Peter Lawford. There you go.
Wow, that's so exciting. Now, we were talking yesterday. The Swedish bakery in Andersonville is closing down. They say clientele has changed, that people don't just want to spend time in a bakery anymore. But that's not always the case. I love going to bakeries.
I mean, the whole thing is the .com thing. Everyone's doing everything online. Oh. I mean, ordering stuff. I mean, that's a whole other business. I mean, but we're traditional. It'll keep going.
But that's where the tradition comes from. My grandmother would always get like a coffee cake or something in case one of her sisters would come visit on a Sunday. We always went to the bakery and would get things. And I don't know if younger people think to go to a bakery, but they should.
They do. I agree. It's like a tradition, and it's cool. It's a cool tradition to keep doing. I mean, there's other bakeries that have closed this year too.
Yeah.
But I mean, nothing lasts forever, unfortunately. You know, but we will.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Look at that.
Well, here's one of the things, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Wendy, because as they've had that traditional bakery for so many years, it was just, I don't know, maybe it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago, you guys did try to, and this is something that you used to talk about bakeries closing, you guys opened up that place in Elmhurst and tried to make it everything that you would know and love about a traditional place, but with extra things in there. You know, you've got a lot of the different coffees, the desserts, you've even got that tasting room for people if they're going to plan like their event or wedding and stuff, and it has turned out to be like very popular. So it was risky, but it's working out.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's one of the meeting places in Elmhurst. I mean, people have their meetings there. We have wine and painting parties. We had a shower in there last weekend. Shower, a baby shower in there last weekend. My cousin threw his wife's 50th birthday party in there.
In the bakery.
That's excellent. It's nice. It's really nice.
You know, when you go in, you always have those display cases with cakes and candy and cookies and donuts and stuff. And to me, that's better than a jewelry shop. I could just look inside those display cases.
What if it's a revolving case?
Oh, that's what heaven looks like. I love that.
Nice.
So a little slice of heaven out there in Elmhurst, if you want to give the address and what I guess people got to get there early on Saturday for the parade.
Right, yeah. Our address is 544 South Spring Road. And the phone number is really cool because it's easy to remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's 630-530-0630.
Oh, all right.
It's easy to remember. And we have a little special going on. If you come in and buy one of our gelatos in our pint form, you can get two free.
Oh, that's the deal of the century.
It's dangerous.
Really quickly, give me a flavor to the most exotic flavors of the gelatos that you're
carrying. The four we have in pint form is vanilla, hazelnut, pistachio, and chocolate.
All delicious.
But we have them also in scoop. You can get them to go. We have anything from coconut, sea salted caramel.
You're going there, aren't you?
I want to go
all kinds
right
of
now.
Stuff. That you name it, we got it.
Really? Oh, that sounds good.
We got about 25 different flavors.
Best cannoli I've had maybe ever, because a lot of times a cannoli is too sweet for me. This has got, it's not too sweet.
Thanks, Wendy.
Really delicious.
That. Thank you.
As sweet as you are, Ed.
Thanks.
Not reflective
right?
of your.
Right, he's a sweet guy.
Very sweet man. Dane, really quick, you have a new show premiering on WGN very, very soon on weekends, correct?
Well, it's not necessarily very, very, well, it depends on, I guess, the definition of very, very soon. So it's not like later on today.
Within the next few minutes.
In fact, it started a while ago. I got to get to it.
You have to hurry.
It's coming up on the 18th of March. It's called On the Road with Dane, and it's going to be a little bit like motorsports, a little motorsports lifestyle, a little travel, a little fun, family. Certainly there's some food in there, so we're going to have some
singing
of
and dancing.
There'll be some entertainment based, you know, whether it's juggling or fire eating, sword swallowing. We're going to have all of those things kind of tapping into people who know and love cars. And then also that tech side, you know, for the moms, and then all the food and travel, road trips, things that families do on a regular
basis.
How
fun is that?
It's going to be nice. March 18th is the premiere episode.
Yep. And then the next one, well, you know, if all goes well, will be the next Saturday, 2 till 4.
All right. Very, very good.
Good luck on that next one.
Thanks, Wendy.
You'll be great.
We can't wait to see it and hear it. I guess hear it. Watching the radio won't be as exciting, but we'll listen to it. Ed, great to see you again.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks,
Wendy.
We'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You're going to do it with Christian Kuhn here?
No.
You're a baby.
It would be wrong to continue this, but if we were going to continue this, why would we be playing this song, Wendy?
It's the band Garbage, another term for garbage.
It's trash, and it's Trash Wednesday, but I would not do that. That's something somebody who's not a professional would do.
All right, Christian Kuhn is here, the lead pastor at Urban Village Church. Are we going to get struck by lightning?
Yes.
You never know.
That's a great answer, by the way.
Yeah, well.
I want to thank you first and foremost for coming up here every year on Ash Wednesday. I tried to make it to 7:45 Mass this morning. I didn't. So it's nice to know that you are here to administer ashes. And if there are people downtown right now that maybe they won't get home in time for that last Mass at their church, you are out and about today distributing ashes.
I am out and about myself. Right from here, I'm going over near the Chick-fil-A on State and Lake, so grab your chicken sandwich and get mashed at the same time.
No, you can't eat meat today.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Excuse me.
I'm not Catholic, though, so I forget those things.
I am, and your denomination...
They've got to have vegetarian choices, don't they, at Chick-fil-A?
I guess they do.
Probably.
Get a salad. What faith are you?
I'm a Methodist.
Okay, so Methodist. Yeah. And Methodist ashes work on a Catholic? It's not a joke. No,
we get that question a lot, and I say yes. So I've joked, I think, in the past about we get our ashes from a Catholic gift shop, and so they are literally Catholic ashes, though I'm not Catholic. I think they somehow can be imbued upon you.
I think you're fine.
And last year we had the pastor from Old St. Pat's Church here, and he said that it was okay as well.
I think so. Yeah. Father Tom Hurley.
How did this tradition start? What is the symbolism involving the ashes exactly?
Yeah, several centuries ago. And so there are places in the scripture that talk about using ashes as a way to have acts of penance. Mm-hmm. And so to show remorse for sins that we have committed. And so this turned into a time of essentially a kickoff for the Lenten season where we think about, prepare ourselves to think about how we are as Christians. And also to really explore who we are as humans. Part of the scriptures we read is from dust we came and to dust we shall return. So we think about what does it mean to be human, both the great parts of us, but also the things that we're not so proud of.
We're not perfect at all. None of us are. Certainly not me. And Bill was laughing at me when I was telling you off the air that I just feel the need to get ashes every year. And I don't eat meat on Fridays during Lent. It's just something that was instilled in me. And I'm not a great Catholic, but I try to get better every year. And isn't that kind of the whole reason behind this?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for, so in your case, to say, I'm a pretty good Catholic. I'm a pretty good Methodist. I'm a pretty good Christian. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging that we wake up every day and do our best to try to follow in the ways of Jesus, but also we don't always get it. And so Lent is a great time for us to think about that and reflect on what are ways that we can deepen our faith.
We were talking about things that people give up for Lent, and remember the caller that called in, Bill, who said it's not necessarily always a food item or something like that, but to abstain from something that you enjoy to kind of just show your faith. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this year one of mine is I'm trying really hard to not use my smartphone as much during the day, especially on various social media things. So that's one thing. There are lots of different ways that people can abstain or fast. Others talk about, too, about taking on a practice. So if you're going to give up something, also think about what's something that I might be able to take on, like a more devoted prayer life or reading the scriptures a little bit more often or doing acts of service, things like that.
That's the best move, isn't it? Because then you're doing something good for the community or for other people.
And then you feel better, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a both and. So I encourage people to, if they're interested in abstaining or giving something up, to do so, but also to think about what's something that I can take on in its place.
I was telling Bill this yesterday, I believe. My dad died when I was 10 years old. He was only 46, real bad diabetic, was losing his eyesight. So I believe someone from Lighthouse from the Blind, for the Blind, would take the train to Brookfield where we lived, and he'd find his way to my dad's house, and he was teaching my dad how to read Braille before my dad was losing his eyesight. So my dad wasn't a super religious person. He wasn't Catholic. However, when you're faced with childhood diabetes and you're not expected to live very long, he wasn't born again, but he became filled with faith. Mm. So he would have the Bible, and he was losing his eyesight, so he asked me to read the Bible, and he would take this old reel-to-reel deck and record me reading it so he could just fast-forward to the various selections that he wanted. And
get to the good parts. Fast forward to good parts. Yeah.
Yes. Although for like, you know, an 8-year-old kid, none of it was really good parts. It's like, these tapes are somewhere in my sister's house. She's been looking for them. I have to hear them because I am utterly disgusted. I'm an 8-year-old kid, and it's like this little high voice going, "He cometh down into..." Are we finished yet? But I'm so glad I did that, and that's something that makes you feel good when you're helping somebody else. Maybe not at the moment.
But I'm sure your dad, too, is really powerful for him to be able to hear that, hear the scriptures, but also that his daughter would take the time to do that, too.
God, I hated doing it, and I feel so guilty saying that, but I really did, but I'm glad I did.
You didn't do the whole Bible.
No, he selected some various passages that meant something to him and would highlight them.
Did he steer you away from the long names that are hard to pronounce?
No, I think he thought it was cute when I'd trip up on him. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, it's fun.
But that, it does make you feel good. And I mean, in this day and age where I feel like everybody's mean to one another, maybe we can learn something. And it's not, I'm not going political parties. I'm just saying people are mean to each other now. Let somebody in when you got your turn signal on and you're merging. So maybe during this Lenten season, we can all think about being nicer to one another. Isn't that a great message?
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly support that.
All right. Is there a website to go to that people can find you? Because you and some of your people are out. You're not going to be at all these locations,
no,
correct?
No, I'm not. Yes, go to our Facebook page. And so that's Urban Village Church Chicago on Facebook. And on there, we'll have all of our locations. We'll be there at noon hour today, during the rush hour later today. And actually, I will be at the outside Hamilton tonight from 6:30 to 7:30. So for anyone who is in that area, I'll be happy to ask you before you go in.
Now, are you going to the show? Is that
I've already gone. Though actually, last 3-4 years ago, when Book of Mormon was there, we were outside, and some of the cast members came out to get ashed before they went on. Now, I'm guessing they probably washed it off before they went on stage. But
here's why that's interesting to me. I think you already are ahead of me on this. But that's a show that some people consider to be kind of anti-religious, and yet the cast themselves were going and getting ashed up.
I love that term.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And,
what do you make of that?
That's a good question. That's the arts. A lot of it is you're sometimes where you may believe something, but you're playing a character that doesn't necessarily jive with what you believe, and yet it can open up different and expand your notions of religion and what religion is, and in that case, in a different country and things like that. So,
It was, I took my 17-year-old son to see Book of Mormon, and there were parts that go against God quite a bit in a lovely little song that I felt very guilty about, but yet I enjoyed the play. You know, I was torn. Do Methodists feel as much guilt as Catholics do?
They probably could use a little dosage of more. but also, I think it's that balance between some people grew up in a faith where they did feel a lot of shame and guilt. And so we try to help people that's not constant for them. But also sometimes guilt isn't a bad thing for you to kind of think about. You were mentioning earlier about people are just mean to each other. And so if you didn't feel guilty about that, then I'd be really concerned.
Yeah.
But a little bit of guilt can go a long way.
All right. Well, I am ready to get ashes, and I think Elif is going to – are we going to just record this, or are we Facebook Live-ing it?
We'll do a Facebook Live.
All right. So
it's the reason the internet was invented, Wendy. People want to see you getting ashes.
Kristen Kuhn in the studio with us, the lead pastor at Urban Village Church, located here in the city.
Yeah, we're in four neighborhoods. We're in the South Loop, Wicker Park, Edgewater, and Hyde Park Woodlawn.
And is there a Twitter account for the Urban Village Church?
There is, @UV Church.
All right. And will your schedule be up there as well?
That'll be No, the schedule will be on the Facebook page.
And give that again.
That's if you just go on Facebook and search for Urban Village Chicago, you should be able to find us.
All right. I know Steve Bertrand is going to get some ashes, too, last year. I like the whole getting ashed thing, Christian, that you've been saying, getting ashed. Mm-hmm. It's hipping it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll take a quick break. And Steve Bertrand, will you be part of this Facebook Live as we get our ashes today?
Sure.
I'll be nice to you. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. I'll never forget in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, all we are is dust in the wind, dude.
Yep. So true.
And, all right, Christian Kuhn is here, the lead pastor at Urban Village Church. And you will be out and about today distributing ashes to anyone who wants them. The best place to find the schedule would be the Facebook page. Just search Urban Village.
Urban Village Church.
Church.
Yep.
All right. Steve Bertrand is here. Are you going to get ashes, too?
Sure, yeah.
You are Wendy. You are Steve. I, of course, Christian, as you know, am without sin, so I don't need them. But I hope you brought extra ashes for Steve and for Wendy.
We can. I always know we can look to Bill Leff for...
Think about a sliding scale, though, where the person with the most sins gets more ashes. That would be a cool way of...
I had somebody this morning who had already been ashed but wanted to get ashed again.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so...
Wow.
See, that was my question, because I might be going to 7 o'clock Mass with my son tonight, and I'm going to walk in with ashes.
You can wash it off and, like, do it again.
I thought you were supposed to let it wear off on its own.
Actually, I did some research on this on a Catholic website. Like, it says it's fine to... You don't have to keep it on the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
I like to show it to show that, look, I'm suffering too.
You want to walk. That's your suffering. So you want to walk into church with it. You want to have it on your forehead.
Yeah, but then it looks like, what's wrong with this girl? She's got a double dip here. How many sins has she done?
I need a lot of help, Father. That's what you can say.
All right. Well, I'll come over to your side and get my ashes on Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just calling it Ash Wednesday now?
Yeah, I think we need to. Right. Yeah. Of course.
You have to do a play-by-play.
I will do a play-by-play. And last year, Christian, I'm trying to remember the words you spoke because it's not the traditional blessing, right? You've chosen a different option.
Actually, I use a lyric from a Mumford & Sons song.
Yeah.
That fits really well with Ash Wednesday, so that's kind of my go-to.
All right. Now, I have to ask you, when you decide to do something like that, do you have to ask permission from somebody higher up to use that as the blessing, or is everybody good with that?
Jesus.
That's the boss.
No, I think people can use and be creative on the liturgy they use. I mean, there are some classic ones that remember that you came from dust into dust, you shall
right.
return. But for this one, when I heard the lyric, I thought, wow, that's such an Ash Wednesday thing. So I've used it and people seem to like it.
Oh, okay. All right. Wendy will be first.
Do I need to stand?
No.
I just want
no.
to stand by the microphone.
Okay.
So.
All right. Go ahead.
Wendy, in these bodies we shall live, and in these bodies we shall die. Where you give your love is where you give your life. Have a blessed Lent.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Christian.
Yep.
Fast and easy. And now Steve. And Steve wants something from a different band, from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Do you have something from them?
Barry Manilow.
One song guy here.
All right.
Steve, in these bodies we shall live, and in these bodies we shall die. Where you give your love is where you give your life. Have a blessed Lent.
Thank you.
Amen.
Now, I noticed with Wendy you did a cross, but with Steve you did the WGN logo. Is there a reason?
Does he have that tattooed somewhere? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it's perfect. Who administered your ashes? You didn't do it for yourself, did you?
No, you know, and this is the thing. You don't have to be an ordained pastor to give ashes. So actually, my son gave them to me this morning.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, and I asked him if he wanted me to give them to him, and he kind of said, after school, Dad. So... I'll give them to him later.
Can I ask, this year there's been a little bit of controversy. We talked about this off air, but I'm curious your thoughts about the glitter ashes. For people who don't know that story, what exactly was going on with the glitter ashes?
Yeah, there have been some churches that, in a way to show solidarity with LGBTQ folks and also to essentially have an opening into church for them to add some glitter to their ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've been doing that. I know there are a couple, Holy Covenant United Methodist and Berry Memorial United Methodist have done that. We've chosen not to. I think for us, it's just a way for us to really get a lot from the traditional ashes, I suppose, and thinking about our own frailty and humanity. But certainly we support those who do that.
Good.
Okay, if anyone's listening right now and they're at work, why aren't you working? Why are you listening to us? But if you're downtown, you can go to Urban Village Church's Facebook page and find the schedule for today.
Correct.
Where are you going right after here?
Right from here, I'm going over to near the Chick-fil-A on State and Lake. And then tonight from 6:30 to 7:30, I'll be in front of Hamilton and offering ashes. And then from 5 to 6, we'll be at lots of different L stops throughout the city.
So throughout the evening?
From what? 5 to 6, they'll be there at lots of different L stops, and then my shift from 6:30 to 7:30, that'll be it.
Okay.
So
get it while it lasts.
That's right.
Get
Someone
ashed.
Is back at the home base still administering ashes throughout the day, even though you're out on the road. Somebody's at your...
You know, we don't have a home base.
Oh, you don't?
No, we rent spaces. We've been around for about 7 years, and so we don't own a building, and so we rent space in all of those neighborhoods.
Oh.
And so this is our... Chicago's our space, so we're constantly out and about.
It'll make you feel good if you believe get them, and if you don't, no one's going to judge you if you don't get the ashes. Let's be nice to each other.
All right.
Amen.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Christian. Great to see you again.
Good to see you, too.
It is common knowledge to every schoolboy and even to every bachelor of arts that all sin is divided into two parts. One kind of sin is called a sin of commission, and that is very important. And it is what you are doing
when
you are doing something you oughtn't. And the other kind of
Why
sin
are we
is just
playing this audio right
called
now?
A sin of omission and is equally bad in the eyes of all right-thinking people from Billy Sunday to Buddha.
You can do this.
And it consists
well, it's
of not
Ash
having
Wednesday.
Done something
yes.
you should have.
That's right.
I might as well give you my opinion of these two kinds
it?
Of sin as long as
it's
in
of
a
course
way
the poet Ogden Nash
and
this is Nash Wednesday. That's why we're playing that.
Boy, you weren't kidding when you said you had thought of
I have 134 of these.
Oh, my God.
Hi, everybody. It's Phil Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Welcome aboard. We can be reached at 312-981-7200. Unless you want
to
complain, then keep it to yourself.
I got my ashes, and I will tell you this. There are people that still look at me like they want to go. You have some.
Right.
Never
the
mind.
The whole day is spent. I walked down the block a couple blocks away to pick up lunch, and I saw a couple people with similar ashes to yours. And in each and every case, I wanted to go, just if you could just, like, it's gone.
What's that sound effect?
Like that.
What, you want somebody to lick it off?
No. Well, if you want to, it's up to you. It's up to you. But it does. It's jarring almost every time you see it. I bet if you just looked in the mirror, like if you ran into the bathroom for a second, you'd go, ah.
I did.
What? Yeah, it throws you, doesn't it?
Plus, my ashes that were administered by Christian Kunz was, it's very dark.
Very dark. But very symmetrical.
Yeah.
It's a perfect cross. I've noticed that not a single vampire has bothered you since you've had those ashes affixed to your forehead.
Thank you for noticing.
You're welcome.
Plus, I had garlic for lunch.
Right. Right. So it's a combination of those things that have kept you vampire-free since 11:15. Good for you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm just going through my pile of... I'm telling you, watching Hoarders really makes me want to clean out my junk.
Is it working?
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What?
We have to talk to somebody who might be your new best friend.
All right.
Hi there, Susan.
Hey. Hi, this is Peachy.
Hey, what's up?
Long time no hear.
We used to have Peachy used to call our show when I was doing the night show all the time.
Yeah. And you remember my sense of humor, too.
I do remember your sense of humor and that you have a penchant for helping animals.
That, too.
Yep.
Your jokes are like mine. They're sad.
Thank you. Thank you, Peachy. That's very
for
kind.
You, Wendy.
You know what? It's a lot of fun, I got to admit.
Yeah. See, I'm 5'1" up and out. I'm well-rounded.
Yeah.
The only problem is it's in the stomach, the butt, the hips. You bet it ain't up top. I could be a real boob. Milk it for all
We have to get a rim shot.
Yes.
I'm telling you. You have any more in you, Kiki?
Peachy.
Oh,
Peachy.
Peachy.
Wait, what? Could you, wait, hang on.
A ton of them.
All right, first of all, what is your name?
My name is Susan.
Oh, okay.
My nickname is Peachy.
Peachy.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it says Susan Kiki on the screen.
Right.
But Peachy.
Oh. No, this is Peachy.
Okay.
So, but Bill, yeah, Bill's sense of humor is like mine, and if he keeps it up, I'm going to call back and tell you a ton of more jokes.
All right.
Tons.
All right.
We'll talk to you later.
You know
then.
My sense of humor.
Yes, I do. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Peachy, thank you for calling. Have a great rest of the day.
You too.
All right. Take care. Bye. She would call me late at night.
I would listen to you late at night, and I would hear her call.
Yeah. always did very kind things for animals. Really.
Animals need our help, though.
Yeah. Yep. And people. Right?
Yes.
Not just the animals, but people do, too. Hey, later on, Steve Bertrand is not at his post right now because he just did the Wintrust business lunch, and after he finishes, he takes a sauna. But later on, when he's back in place, people know that about him, right? I'm not divulging any secrets.
They do now.
Well, they do now. All right, so he fills it up with bubble bath, the sauna, and he sips the champagne, and then he's ready for the news later on. He showed us a video of something that one of his children were engaged in.
Is this for air?
Yeah, I cleared this
okay.
with him.
Okay.
I cleared this with him. We can't talk about it yet because he's not back at his post yet. But in a little while, we'll discuss what one of his children are doing in this video. Because I said to you after I saw this, if one of my kids were doing this, I would not be happy.
And I agree with you. But like after the fact, who cares?
Because it's already happened.
You mean?
Right. It's too late once it's already happened. But I know this. I can't get into specifics yet because Steve's not there to tell the story. But I would want to explain to them for future reference that what they're doing is really very, very dangerous.
You know, you're adorable because I know as a parent that's what you do. You explain things to your kids. And when they're babies, they just look at you lovingly and smile and make weird noises.
Yeah.
And then when they're toddlers, they test you a little bit.
Yeah.
And now I'm into the teenage phase where I don't know that they even listen to me talk. But it's funny that you think that you could just talk to your girls and say, here's why I don't think you should do it. And then they're going to go, okay, Dad.
And then do it anyway?
Right.
I'm confident enough that I could explain some horrible things that could happen as a result of what they're doing in the video.
And you think that's going to make a difference?
I hope so.
Did you listen to your parents?
Usually. Not always, but usually.
I didn't, but I always was the one who came back and said, Mom, you were right.
Yeah, yeah, that happens a lot.
But there's something about me that when somebody tells me to do something, I do the opposite.
Do the opposite, yeah.
I just think it's really cute that you think that your girls would listen to you.
I think, all right, I know this
Let's
is weird
take a
because
break.
We've not explained what exactly is going on in the video, but when Steve returns, we will do that. We will go through the paces of what one of his children are doing in the video. And he showed it to us, and you saw the look on his face. Like, can you believe one of my kids? I like to think my kids are smart enough to not do this. But here's a video of them doing this.
Yeah, but it seemed like he was a proud dad showing everybody the video.
There was an element of that. There was a little bit of that. All right, we'll get into this further in just a little bit. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, Steve Bertrand has rejoined us. Steve, I was just telling the story about how in the first half, you showed Wendy and myself a video of one of your children doing something slightly dangerous.
Yeah, my daughter is in Hawaii for the semester studying at Chaminade. And
how do you get to do that? How do you get to go to school in Hawaii for a semester?
Well, she went to Dayton, and Dayton has a sister school program with Chaminade. So she's going there for a semester instead of being at Dayton for a semester.
Who's the unlucky person who comes from the Hawaii campus and goes to Dayton?
Nobody does that. Someone did it in the 70s and they never went back.
Right.
So, you know, and she's sending us all these videos. She's really taking in the Oahu and doing all these great things. And I love that.
Yeah.
And then she sent this video yesterday of her diving off a cliff into the ocean. And she said it was like 70 feet. I don't know. You guys saw the video.
It looks at least 70 feet. I think more.
Well, they do the sunset ceremony, and they have cliff divers that do that for a living.
Right.
Not typically
Steve,
your college student.
Emma does not do that for a living.
She does not do it for a living, and I hope that she does not ever do it again.
Right.
But, you know, you want your kids to go out and explore and to do adventurous things.
Not that adventurous.
I just don't want to see it. And so Sharon said, how did you know? Because when how do you know it's deep enough? And she goes, the locals were telling us when to go.
Sure.
So, like, when the waves came in, they knew it was safe to jump.
Of course.
Yeah, because there's more water.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
All right. So, what do you do with the knowledge? Like, you showed it to Wendy and I, and you had the look in your face of, I'm kind of proud of her, because that's a dangerous, scary thing she just did.
Right.
But I'm kind of mad at her, too.
Yeah.
I already told her brother that he can't do it. We're going to go there in a few weeks, but I don't know. I just have to kind of not want to know, I think. Because you don't want her to be, right? You don't want your kids to not try things.
Right.
Well, Bill's really cute. You weren't here when you were when Bill was talking about this. He said that, and I'll let you say it, but basically you would explain to them why that's not a good idea, and I think it's really cute that you think they'd listen to you.
I would go out of my way to explain to them that even though the chances are you could survive that very easily, and she did, thankfully, if you bend the wrong way or turn the wrong way, you're paralyzed for the rest of your life, and there's no 30-second jump that's worth being paralyzed for the rest of your life for.
Right, but you got to figure other people are doing it too, so yeah. It can't be.
If I told you to jump off a cliff, would you?
Yes, apparently.
Yes. The answer is yes.
We had the option to do that in Hawaii on our honeymoon, and I...
You said no.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm thinking you were at some sort of event, closely regulated. And
right.
No, not really.
No? This looks like they just found a cliff.
It does.
Oh, there was no guide there with them?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
See what I mean?
Okay, but what do you do after she already did it, Bill?
I would say to her, look, I'm thrilled you're going
get
to school
Emma
in
on
Hawaii.
The phone. Let Bill talk to her.
But put Emma on the phone. I want to tell her this. But if you want to continue to go to school in Hawaii, I'm going to have to ask that you please stop jumping off of cliffs.
But don't you want them to go out and...
and try things?
Find
not
new
like
adventures?
That.
I mean, yeah. Something beyond poi or whatever.
Now that Don Ho doesn't do a show there anymore,
well, there's nothing
you
got to go
find
for.
Something
right.
to do. I don't know. I would be exactly what you demonstrated. I would be proud of them for doing that because I go, wow, that's a pretty gutsy thing to jump off of a high cliff into the water like that. But then I would say, promise me.
Don't
either
do it
never
again.
Do it again or don't tell me that you've ever done it again.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I'm proud of it because I'm showing people. It's not like she was thrown in jail for one of her adventures.
Right.
Well, that's what I was telling Bill, too. It's like, you know, look what my daughter did, but yet you were proud to show it, which is what you do with your kids' videos.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I don't know. I'm getting to that point. You've had somebody go away to college. If Michael goes away in the fall, I don't want to let my mind wander of what anybody could be doing at any particular time.
Sure.
Don't you have to shut that off somehow?
Yes, a little bit, a little bit. When she told you she did this...
She didn't tell us.
She just sent a video out to you?
A video showed up, yeah.
All right, so then...
Watched it 4 times, and then I'm like, oh, I better put my glasses on to see what I'm looking at.
So there was no warning of what you were about to see?
No.
Oh, that's even worse. And can I ask what your reaction was? Were you like, holy moly?
I thought it was, my first reaction was that it was pretty cool. And then the more I thought of it, the more I'm like, yeah, this could have really gone wrong.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It didn't.
Yeah, but you get in a car and something could go wrong. I know probably not as wrong as jumping off a cliff.
Right.
But.
Right.
In the Pacific Ocean.
And I know the I guess the odds are in your favor because as Steve pointed out, other people were doing it and walked away unscathed. But then you go, but then there's a chance, like even if it's a 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 shot, let's go with 1 in 1,000. It's obviously not 1 in 100, or they'd close the cliff down. They wouldn't let people do that. But I would still go. You don't want to be that one.
There's always
something goes
that
awful.
One. Yeah, but what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. Kathy, what did your daughter do?
What didn't she do?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
She studied abroad in Cape Town, South Africa, and was there for 6 months. And I got a video on her birthday. It was a text. It said, Ma, I jumped into my 20s today, on her 20th birthday, and she did the world's largest bungee jump.
So
and then,
did you get to see video of this like Steve saw, or did you just take it?
Sent a video.
Oh, wow.
And I was at work, and I'm like, oh. Like, and I was shaking and sweating, but I knew she was okay because she sent the text.
Right, right.
But then she went walking with the lions where you have just a stick and you go walking with lions. Like, I have pictures. No. Then she went shark cage diving.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, listen. And she's like, Mom, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. She goes to ISU. She said, I'd rather die in a shark cage than die getting hit by a bus in Normal, Illinois.
I guess you have to believe in the theory when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Because I think you increase your chances by jumping off cliffs and hanging with tigers and lions, don't you?
And sharks.
But, you know,
and sharks. Oh, my.
Now she's back in Normal and, you know, doing her thing, but did it. And I'm like, you know what? If you've got that, I never had that opportunity. You know, if you want to do that, by gosh, you do it. And then we went and visited her, and we couldn't go shark cage diving. And I got to say, I was a little bummed.
Can I ask really quick, if you knew in advance, like she sent you this post-fact, she had already done this, but if she didn't do it yet and she said to you, hey, on Wednesday I'm going to do it's the world's largest bungee jump. Are you good with that? What would you have said?
She did do that, and I told her, I knew she was doing it that week, but I didn't know when. But we didn't tell her dad.
Yeah, I get it.
So he was like, did she ask you permission? I said, well, permission 22 hours away, you know, that's a relative thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm like, if we're going to freak out every time our kids, I mean, I know kids who have gotten just slam ham drunk in normal and fallen off a curb and broken their arm. You know, so I say, if they have the opportunity to do it, do it. I said, don't come home with regrets.
Wow, listen, Mom of the Year and Nerves of Steel, I might add, Kathy.
Don't come home with regrets, but come home.
Right.
But come home, that's what I said. I said, and I was more worried about her going out partying with, you know, in the bars than I was doing, like, things like that because, you know, it is South Africa.
Yeah.
So I was more concerned when she'd be like, I'm going out tonight. I'm like, ah. <She's> like
well, thank you for sharing that.
People are more dangerous than tigers when you provoke them. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're right. No, that's true.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, guys.
Do you remember when we did the show? This is years ago. We did the show from Turks and Caicos Islands for a week.
Yes.
And we had the chance. Some members of our party, not the people in our party, but one of the guys' wives did this thing where you're not just jumping out of a plane, but the plane goes up twice as high as normal. Like when you look up in the sky and you saw the plane, it was just a little
speck,
like a dot. And then you jump out of that. It's like that jump is more than twice the size of a normal jump out of a plane. I don't remember what they called it.
Stupid.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. But one of the guy's wives did it. And there was a few moments where I was on the fence. Like, I've always wanted to jump out of a plane. That would be, think about that. That would be so much fun. Let's do this. But then, like, it set in that I have a wife and two kids at home. And if there's some freak accident and I don't live through it, they would hate me forever.
Well, they might be happier. You never know.
Not.
I actually forgot about something. Hi, Tony. You're a listener who was with my husband, Jim, and I in Hawaii, and I'm remembering this wrong.
I can't believe I'm sitting at home with you. I remember you were actually broadcasting, and I had the biggest cooler by the pool, so Jimmy Mack automatically became my, like, best friend in the world.
Of course.
So we're sitting there enjoying a couple of adult beverages, and Jimmy Mack gets this look on his face like, hold my beer, watch this. So he climbs the Black Rock at Kanapali Beach, and I think when Wendy finally figured out what's going on, she had his big balloon overhead like idiot.
He jumped off the cliff.
He did jump off.
I forgot about that because I was broadcasting with another radio show at that time.
I still have pictures of him doing it, too. I'll have to get him to you somehow. But, yeah, he was. He might have been persuaded a little bit by adult beverages, I think.
Were you mad at him for doing that, Wendy? You were
obviously not because I don't even remember he did it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he did it.
So the difference is when we were doing bad things, we would write letters home, right?
Right. Right, you wouldn't have the video.
Right.
And I just texted Emma, so she's listening now in Hawaii.
Oh, is she? Yeah.
Heard me say, don't come home or come home with regrets, but come home.
Yeah.
So now she said a Shark Tank is next.
Oh, good.
All right. Well, Tony, you have to get me those pictures somehow. Can Elif get your number? Because I'd like to see Jim jumping off the cliff. I completely forgot about it. I think I've blocked it out.
Sure, I'll give him my number, and then I'll get text him to somebody or email him to somebody, whatever.
All right, cool. Thank you, Tony. Hang on a second. I forgot he did that. I thought it was on our honeymoon. It was a different Hawaii trip.
Yeah.
And so, he probably did it just to show off because people were looking.
Sure. And for some reason, that Black Rock and Kanapali Beach, that's a nonstop line of people doing just that. Now, again, not that that makes it any safer because if you land the wrong way,
you're paralyzed or dead.
Yeah.
Or eaten by a shark.
Or all of those things.
That would be bad.
That would be bad.
All right. Well, I'm glad she's listening in Hawaii. That's awesome.
From the beach, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wish we were there.
Mm-hmm.
How come Steve Bertrand Travel is not going there?
Steve Bertrand Travel might go, but he wouldn't bring you. I'm going to go in a few weeks.
Oh, fine. Go. Go somewhere else. How mean is that?
No, you could come.
No, forget it now.
I'm trying to get you to go somewhere.
I want to stay in the area. I want to go maybe to Berwyn.
Do you guys do Berwyn, Steve?
We might have to get Wendy involved.
All right.
When I think of all the mosquitoes and gnats and chiggers, I'm sure glad there's Caladryl, because only Caladryl contains Benadryl, the most recommended topical antihistamine for itch. Caladryl can help stop almost any itch. Poison ivy or poison oak.
Steve, Wendy, you want to take this one?
I know it, and it's sick.
What is it?
Happy Rash Wednesday.
It's Rash Wednesday, everybody. So
nice. I like it.
Thank you so much.
I don't like it.
No?
You're anti-rash?
Well, you know why I'm anti-rash? Because I don't like the word ointment, and that's what you usually put on a rash.
You know what's funny? I saw, this is like 6 months ago, the words that irritate people more than any other words.
And it's mainly women, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why. What is it about that word?
Did you say irritate on purpose?
Yes, yeah. Why? Why?
Rash, irritate.
You know what?
Ellis working overtime. So, what is it about that word? It's just the sound of the word?
I've worked with you.
Would you prefer salve?
Yeah, I'm okay with
cream?
Salve. Yep.
All right.
Ointment is
bad.
Just...
How about appointment? Does that word upset you?
No, because it's buried in the middle.
Yeah.
You right. know, like, I've worked with you a long time, and you know the word coin has always bothered me.
Right.
There is something... oh, my God, there are so many oi words. Oi.
Yep.
I have a friend, a woman, who doesn't like the word spatula.
Spatula sounds like a female body part to me.
Go ahead,
doesn't
explain
it? You need
that.
A lesson.
I know
I'll
that
show you on the doll.
I know that it's not a female body
take
part.
Take all the time you need. Explain yourself.
But it seems like something like your aunt would say, I had to go in, I got female problems. And you go, like what? And she goes, well, I dislocated my spatula. And you go, oh, no, I hope everything's okay.
You're thinking of scapula.
No, I'm not.
I wish I could have a spatula.
You'd only come in 1 or 2 days a week. Yeah, that word for some reason always registers as very a feminine-sounding body part to me.
You really, it's amazing that you're married and have children.
Like one of those things they'd show you in sex ed class. When you're taking sex ed and you're writing down all the body parts and stuff. Where's the spatula? Women have a spatula? I'll write that down.
There's something with that oi sound. In fact, there's a Facebook page called I Hate the Word Moist. Mm-hmm. There are several members to this page. And one Facebooker calls moist possibly the worst word in the English dictionary.
Really?
I don't like it either.
That bad, huh?
It's difficult to find any unifying thread of why this gets people's goats. But for some reason, it's that sound. There was another article.
And you cringe when you hear that word? Can you feel it in your spatula?
All the way. Did you say Facebooker?
Yeah, you said Facebooker.
Okay.
Goiter.
Right? That has the same sound. But that's just an unpleasant thing.
So is ointment when you think about it because...
But it's soothing.
It brings relief.
It is soothing,
right? Yeah, but
right?
what Isn't do you it? Have that you need the ointment?
Residue. The residue.
Right. Right.
Yeah, coin is just, I don't...
So any word, the common bond here is?
That sound.
It's that... O-I or O-Y sound?
Yeah. Is Boy why, doesn't bother me.
Is that why you didn't become a rabbi? Because of that sound?
Why?
You would hear that noise a lot. Oy, you hear that all the time if you're a rabbi.
That's not why I didn't become a rabbi. I'm not Jewish, that's why.
That could be part of it, too.
That's a very good reason, too.
All right, I was going to help you with something before we started on the
Please,
spatula talk.
Help away.
There are things that we can teach our body to do to help us. Not ointment, for instance. We can't produce ointment, but
right.
there are things, and I found something that's going to help you.
I can't find it.
You know how you are crazily afraid of needles?
Yes. What
There's
can
something
I do?
That you're supposed to do.
Not get shots. Avoid getting shots.
Yes, that would be one of them. All right, for instance, when you get a brain freeze, is that what you call it?
If you drink a Slurpee too fast, I call it a brain pain, but they call it a brain freeze.
I've never heard anyone but you call
Doesn't
it a brain
sound
pain.
Better brain
it
pain.
It does.
Yeah.
Oy. So you know how to get rid of that?
Here's what I do. I cup my hand, and I seriously do this. This works. If you ever have a brain pain or brain freeze, trust me, this works. You cup your hand, and then you cover the cupped part, the bottom part, and you breathe into it very fast. Just keep it. And then you're okay.
I can understand why that works. They also say to put your tongue up on the roof of your mouth, like mainly covering the soft palate back there, not the hard palate. And here's why, and it's pretty interesting to me. Since the nerves in the roof of your mouth get extremely cold, your body thinks that your brain is freezing.
Oh.
So you blowing into your hands yeah. creates warmth to kind
it fools
of
fools your. I mean, yes. you're already being fooled, but it counterbalances what you think is happening. Right?
Yes, because it says as the roof of your mouth gets extremely cold, your body thinks your brain is freezing too. In compensating, it overheats, causing an ice cream headache. I've never that's
an ice
stupid.
Cream headache.
I don't like that. The more pressure you apply to the roof of your mouth, the faster your headache will subside.
That's true.
But you could also cup your hands together.
Not together. You make with one of your hands, you make a cup, and then you cover it with your other hand, and then you just blow into it really quickly. I don't know why it works, but because I used to get them all the time. Anytime I drink a Slurpee, which was often, I would do that, and that.
Now, are you telling me it doesn't work with the second layer of cup hand?
I wouldn't use the second layer of cup hand, Steve.
That's what you're doing, right? You're cupping, well, it's like a two-ply cup.
It's not a, well, kind of, I guess.
It's kind of like the way people put their hands when they make that weird whippoorwill yeah. sound. Obviously,
hands,
you forgot how to do it.
My hands need to be wet for this to work.
Get a spatula.
That's not nice.
Don't touch
that's
the spatula.
That's not nice. That's upsetting.
You made me laugh so hard I blew a booger out of my nose. Oh.
That's the face booger.
this is why they have removed the 1 to 3
right.
time it's, slot from
when
us.
When we say to them, why did you take those hours away? They'll play us. They'll play a tape of this.
Monday or Tuesday or right. Wednesday. Wednesday especially.
Right.
Try it.
My hands need to be wet. Can you let me wet my hands?
Go wet right your
back.
Hands.
Come
okay,
right back.
Go for it, Moises.
Alu.
How's he wetting his hands?
With water.
Oh, good.
Here we go. He's right. standing by.
Now, this should work now.
God, I hope it does for your sake.
Now you've put pressure on me to perform.
You put pressure on yourself.
I guess so. All right.
It sounds exactly the same.
Try wetting your hands.
All right. That's how you do it.
You just made me smear my ashes off my face.
Oh. Right.
Still not doing it.
I can't do it. That's awful. I used to be able to do it anytime I wanted.
What you know, a terrible just... place to find out you can't do it.
Go for a windy day. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
Can you take a blade of grass, put it in between your two thumbs, and make a noise?
No.
All right, I can do that, I'll try it with a piece of paper. Since we're failing miserably, let's try it again.
I feel like I'm at my kid's third grade concert.
I'm sorry. I used to be able to do this very easily, and now I can't.
You make me cry.
I'm sorry.
But because I'm laughing.
That's not my goal.
I can't do it either. I need a blade of grass.
You know what noise I can hear? Wally Phillips spinning in his grave. That's what I hear right now.
All right. You want to try one more time? Oh, you're getting closer. That is a gassy whipper.
I'm almost there. That's the name of the bar I used to hang out at when I was a longshoreman. Gassy Whippoorwill.
Because they had those umbrella drinks.
Yeah.
I love those.
Two for one at Happy Hour.
They're different. You could pick your color.
Yep.
All right. What I really wanted to help you with is a way to get over your fear of needles.
Oh, all right.
But now I can't stop until I hear the whippoorwill.
I can't. Whippoorwill. One more try.
Wet your hands.
I can't do it. I'm sorry. I let you down.
You did. Yeah. All right. He's putting. You know what it is? You're using club soda. It's carbonated.
Gotta be regular water.
Okay. He's running to the bathroom to wet his hands. I'm embarrassed to have a show on from 1 to 3, and that's why we've lost it. But I got to hear now if Bill can do the whippoorwill.
He really thinks it might be because it's club soda, like it's carbonated water.
He believes anything.
Here he comes.
All right.
He looks determined.
Regular water now.
Okay.
I've let you down.
More than you can imagine.
5 times.
I'm sorry. I thought I could do it.
You used to be able to do it. Maybe your hands got bigger.
I guess so. Nah.
But how did your brain freeze go away?
Yeah, I don't have a brain freeze. Oh, I didn't have one to begin with.
Oh, okay.
So that didn't change.
All right. Well, I will help you figure out how you can. I can't find it now because I'm completely thrown off. But there are ways you can fake your body. You can trick your body into taking care of certain situations.
Yeah.
It's not on there how to make the whippoorwill sound. But there is one about to cure a tickle in your throat, to overcome your problems with shots.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Terry because all night tonight.
I'm going to try this until I get it. guys are going to get a text at like 2:15 in the morning, and the text is just going to be like a windy whippoorwill noise.
With an Wendy emoji. Whippoorwill is my real name.
It is?
I changed it to Wendy Snyder. That's how I taught myself how to whistle really loudly, where you...
The taxicab whistle?
Yeah, I used my pointer and middle finger on each hand,
yeah.
And I was practicing every night in bed
until
I got it, and it woke everybody up because it took me till 2 in the morning to do it.
But what did the rest of your family think was going on when you were doing that?
They thought there was a police raid going on.
I can imagine.
All right, quick break, and then we have some ways to trick your body into helping yourself, and hopefully we'll come up with some good ones for you.
All right. So that's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I've lost Bill Steve because he's been practicing the whole commercial break because... As a young boy, one Bill Leff used to be able to make the sound of a whippoorwill using his cupped hands. And here we go.
I had it during the whole commercial.
Sure you did.
I did. This is so upsetting.
Step right. away from the mic.
All right. I'm out.
Sometimes when you really feel like you need to do it, it's hardest to do.
I think that's
Bill.
What it is.
It happens to everyone.
Spot.
It does.
No, I guess.
No, it's not just you. Everyone goes through
performance
this.
Performance anxiety.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are very talented. This is why we're losing 2 hours.
I know.
It's John Williams' gain.
Right.
By the way.
Because he can make all these noises.
All right. So, again, this is an article put together from health.com. Ways to trick your body to teach you how to deal with things.
Yeah.
And I know that you do not like needles.
No, I don't.
So here's something that they suggest. German researchers, Jahr and Vohl.
That's not their names. Cut it out. That's not their names.
It's better than your whippoorwill.
Don't, please.
All right. German researchers have discovered that coughing during an injection can lessen the pain of the needle stick.
Really?
That's what they're saying. According to Taras Yushchenko, author of a study on the phenomenon, the trick causes a sudden temporary rise in pressure in the chest and spinal canal, inhibiting the pain-conducting structures of the spinal cord. So, but see, I'd be afraid to cough because if you move,
you're in big trouble. Be bad. But for me, it's not even the because there's very little pain involved. It's just the anxiety of knowing a needle is going to be in my skin. You know, it's not the pain itself. I can deal with that. It's just knowing what's about to happen. So would I cough in advance?
No. You'd have to cough at the time of the injection and not think about it.
No. All right.
Some of these. You know how you get a stitch in your side?
No. What do you mean?
It's just a sharp pain, and it's nothing like, you
It's like
know,
a muscle spasm.
Yeah, and I don't exactly know why it's called a stitch, but when you run, this is interesting. If you are like most people, when you run, you exhale as your right foot hits the ground. I never thought about that.
Really?
But now I have to think about
that would be different for everybody, though, wouldn't it?
I don't know. You get a rhythm going, maybe. This puts downward pressure on your liver, which lives on your right side.
Yeah.
Mine just rents.
With an option to buy.
It then tugs at the diaphragm and creates a side stitch.
Well, I'm not wearing a diaphragm, so how do I fit into this equation? I think this applies more to you than it does to me.
Actually, that could explain the whippoorwill problem.
And your spatula.
Come on. Somebody knows wants to know where we drank for lunch.
I know.
We did not.
No, of course not.
It's Ash Wednesday, for gosh sakes.
For heaven's sakes.
All right.
Decorum.
So to get rid of the side stitch, according to the Doctor's Book of Home Remedies for Men, exhale as your left foot strikes the ground as opposed to your right.
Boy, that's a lot of coordinating, isn't it? I don't even think the first part's true, right? You don't run in time with your... I don't get that. I think it would vary from person to person or even like from time to time, wouldn't it? You're not coordinating when you're running.
I don't know. I just know what the Doctor's Book of Home Remedies for Men said. And don't try to make a whippoorwill sound on the radio.
No, I know that.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're silly today.
You are. But I'm enjoying every minute
of it. Thank you. Thank you. What do you know about this?
when my son, who is now in his 30s, started allergy injections at 6,
yeah,
then we only ever had one nurse, and her name was Sheila, and what she did was she'd say, one, take a big breath, 1, 2, 3, blow it out, and she would stick them. He'd never feel it, and that's why we only ever went on the day Sheila worked.
Oh.
No other nurse did it, but it worked. It was a distraction, kind of the same principle, but it works on the premise of expanding the chest, just like that article. Who knew? She could have made some money, maybe.
She probably could have. How about that? Well, thank you. We appreciate it, Ann. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
You're going to be like a little kid someday getting a shot or doing something, and then they'll give you the dumb, dumb sucker. And then you'll have blue lips.
Right.
All right, did you ever have a tickle in your throat? Like, isn't that perfect timing?
Yeah, sure. Everybody's had this.
All right, as an adult, you should try something that serves as a health remedy. The tickle in your throat, it's not worth gagging over. Here's a better way to scratch your itch. Scratch your ear. If you have a tickle in your throat, scratch your ear. They say when the nerves in the ear are stimulated, it creates a reflex in the throat that causes a muscle spasm. And this spasm relieves that tickle. And I got to tell you, and we've all experienced this, if we ever have a cold or allergy, I get allergy twice a year.
Yeah.
You get that tickle in your throat where it happened one time. It's just this dry cough, and you feel it coming. It comes. Remember I coughed so hard in the producer's booth, my nose started bleeding?
I do remember this.
Kevin didn't know what was happening. He thought I was turning.
Right.
In the words of the Walking Dead people.
Right.
So next time you get a tickle, and Steve, you should keep this in mind too, because it happens to the best of us, and if you talk for a living, that tickle in your throat is going to mess you up. Mm-hmm. They say scratch your ear, and then it will cause some kind of muscle spasm in your throat to relieve that tickle.
Is this kind of like the same theory that acupuncture works on? Because, you know, like if you have a pain somewhere, they give you needles in a different part of your body when you'd think, well, if this part of my arm hurts, you should put the needles in that part of my arm, but they don't. They put them somewhere else.
So like pressure points?
Yeah, it's pressure points. I used to work with a lady who whenever anybody in the office would get a headache, she would push really hard between your thumb and your forefinger. She would just find this pressure point. She would push there.
And did you say ouch?
No, it would like it would alleviate. I don't know how this is possible, but then people go, yeah, my headache's gone. Just like just from pushing on that part of the hand, she'd make people's headaches go away. I thought she was a witch. I wanted her burned at the stake in Salem. I don't know how that would be, though. Why would your hand make a headache go away?
Well, because it's all interconnected with your chakra.
No, but you know what I think it is? I think it's because you're focusing then on the new pain in your hand.
It doesn't hurt that much when she pressed
your
hand.
No, she'd press really hard. She'd press really, really hard with her thumb.
Now, I wonder if there's any connection because I was getting my hair done one day from someone I don't go to any longer, and I had a sinus stuff. My sinuses were completely stuffed up, and she, the same like you, the little fleshy area between your thumb and pointer finger, she squeezed it so hard, and she kept, like, massaging
it. That's what I mean, the same thing.
I kid you not, my nose, like, completely started running, and it cleared.
So what's going on there? What's the physics of that? Because your head isn't controlled by your hand. You're wired incorrectly.
Your hand is controlled by
All right, that's true. I'll give you that one. But it's never the other way around.
What about if you have to go to the bathroom number one really badly?
You do that dance, and it makes it go away.
No, it doesn't.
The wee-wee dance.
According to this article in health.com, thinking about sex will help. They say
if
thinking
that was
about
true, no man right. would ever have to go to the bathroom
right.
ever.
You could stop anytime.
Thinking about sex preoccupies your brain so you won't feel as much discomfort. So they say next time you have to go to the bathroom, only number one, and there's no bathroom nearby, instead of doing that dance,
right.
just think about Jessica Simpson or whatever floats your boat, and perhaps your boat won't
Simpson.
Be floating.
Do girls even do that dance? That's a guy thing, right? Remember in grade school, if a kid had to go, you could look at a kid and go, that kid's not just dancing right. at random. He has to go to the bathroom.
We were better dancers, so no one noticed. But yes, we did the dance,
you did
too.
It too? All right.
All right, we have to take a break, and then more fascinating facts
yes.
here on the Bill and Wendy Show, 720 WGN.
Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, joined on the phone by Jason Nathanson from ABC News. talk some entertainment with us. Jason, everyone in Hollywood, everyone in the country, everyone in the world is still reeling over the last few minutes of the Academy Awards presentation on Sunday night. Anything new? Do we know anything now that we didn't know the last few days?
Well, Moonlight's still the winner.
It still is. All right.
That's not changed.
Good.
They did not give it to Hidden Figures. No other movie at this point. No, I mean, we're still... The Academy... PricewaterhouseCoopers, they took full responsibility for everything. And it's this guy, Kulinian. I forget what his name is.
Is he still employed?
He's still employed. Look, he's a manager. He's like a bigwig with the company. So I don't know that he's necessarily going to be fired. This is what I think. If PricewaterhouseCoopers loses the Oscar contract, then he gets fired.
Sure.
If that doesn't happen, he gets reassigned. He never does the Oscars again. I can guarantee either way, this guy's never handing out envelopes at the Oscars.
Have they apologized to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway?
He wants that. Warren Beatty said yesterday, I want the Academy to apologize publicly.
They should.
Yeah.
Well, he wants the Academy to apologize. PricewaterhouseCoopers has apologized now twice. So, I mean, I don't know what more the Academy can do. It wasn't really the Academy's fault. I guess it's their show, so they take ultimate responsibility, but it's not really their fault. So if he's looking for apologies, I mean, I think he got them already. It's kind of time to move on. And he's not the one who was really harmed here. I mean, sure, it was a gaffe. But most people know it's not his fault, that he didn't do anything wrong and that he's not being painted with that. So,
well, now they do, but at first a lot of people, and Bill, you're one of them, who thought he was just doing that like kind of old man trick where it's like, I've got the answer, I'm going to stall, I'm going to do some crazy things.
Yeah. Yep.
Sure. And he explained that immediately that night.
Right.
And, you know, in the hours after that, we came to realize exactly what happened. So, you know, I don't think this is going to ruin Warren Beatty's career. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to start moving on and start the healing in this country, right?
So true, Jason. I guess one of the other big controversies is Casey Affleck won Best Actor for Manchester by the Sea, which didn't sit very well with everybody, correct?
No. Yeah, a lot of people not happy about that. A lot of people trying to look at Brie Larson was the one who presented him with that. Of course, she won last year for Room. And a lot of people are trying to read in as much as possible to her expression. You know, she wasn't clapping at this point. She wasn't doing that. And poor Brie Larson has had to give him the award every time. And this is all the controversy is over the fact that Casey Affleck might be a sexual harasser or might not be. We don't really know. He was accused of sexual harassment by two women several years ago. And, you know, the complaints are not good. They don't paint him in the best light. He's denied the allegations, and there were civil lawsuits filed against him. Those were settled out of court, and part of those settlements is that nobody can really talk about what happened. So a lot of people thought this started coming up again, and a lot of women said, you know, this is not right. We should not be honoring men who have these kinds of pasts. It normalizes it. You know, it's not good for women, things like that. So there was a groundswell to not give him the Oscar. Of course, he gets the Oscar. A lot of people then unhappy on Twitter and social media in the hours following that. So he was asked about that by the Boston Globe. This is his first interview after that night, actually asked about the backlash and what he's seeing about that. And he said they asked him about it, and he apparently took a big, long pause and a big sigh. And he said both sides in the case are prohibited from commenting on the matter. And none of the people who are condemning him online know what happened. He says, I believe that any kind of mistreatment of anyone for any reason is unacceptable and abhorrent, and everyone deserves to be treated with respect in the workplace and elsewhere. The women who had sued were over workplace sexual harassment.
Yes.
They were assistants of his. And then he adds at the end, though, there's really nothing I can do about it other than live my life the way I know I live it and speak to what my own values are and how I try to live by them all the time. Whatever that means.
Well, think about it, okay? I mean, if he did do it and was found guilty, everybody has a right to treat him as a pariah. But he was not found guilty. We don't know if it's true. I keep thinking, putting myself in that position, what if I was accused of something I didn't do? You're not going to change anybody else's mind.
But wouldn't you, if you were accused of something you didn't do, wouldn't you want to fight it in court and not settle out of court? I would.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the conversation that happens all the time.
That's true.
Right? You look at Michael Jackson. he settled things out of court, but, you know, maintained until he died that he did not actually, you know, molest any kids or there was nothing sexual going on with young kids at Neverland Ranch. But, again, then people say, well, you never settled those things. Then on the other side of that, there are people who say there are people who are going to come out of the woodwork when you're rich and famous, and they're going to sue you for everything. And the best way to get out of some of these things is just settle. You don't want it to drag on for so long. And then you look at Bill Cosby,
yeah.
who settled, you know, his cases, and then, you know, 50 years later, 50 women came forward.
Jeez.
So it's complicated. It really is complicated. But a lot of women are upset that this kind of behavior gets normalized, and there's a racial component to it. Because you have a guy like the director, Nate Parker, who's the director of The Birth of a Nation, which is the film that was supposed to be the Oscar frontrunner last year and got completely derailed because he was accused of rape. He was cleared on charges in criminal court, but that still came back to haunt him, and he was black. Casey Affleck is white.
So what do you think the future holds for Casey Affleck? He's been a credible actor for years. Now he wins the Academy Award as Best Actor, which normally is the fast lane to bigger and better things. But now he's got this cloud hanging over him. So what happens next, do you think?
Does he have a cloud hanging over him? I mean, he had a cloud hanging over him during award season, and he won the Oscar for Best Actor. So I think that that's okay. And then you add on to this, in the whole controversy and the normalizing of this behavior and whether that happens or not, look at Mel Gibson, who just a couple of years ago was spewing horrible things on tape towards his ex-wife at the time, or
right.
you know, it was his wife at the time. I mean, just really vile things that he was saying. And then, you know, 8 years later, he's nominated for Best Director, his movie wins 2 Oscars, and he's allowed back into the circle. So I think what happens for Casey Affleck, I think he gets better parts from here on in.
Hmm.
That's interesting.
It is. But you can understand there's been several groups who have used the example you just used, Jason, of Mel Gibson and then Casey Affleck saying, where's the fairness in all this? You got two guys that have allegedly done horrible things to women. So how is this fair to us? It's not.
Sure. I mean, and I think that's going to every movie now that Casey Affleck makes. I think that there's going to be a little bit of that. I think there might be some producers in Hollywood who might say they don't want to work with him. They don't want that stink on their movie. Or there are some that are going to stand up. I think one of the guys, he was an actor on The Office and a writer, B.J. Novak.
Yeah.
Right.
He stood up and said, you know, this is crazy. You know, so people are going to stand up. But when you have a guy who won an Oscar and seems, I mean, that's validation. That's validation from his peers. That's validation from the industry. You know, he's not a big budget guy, so they're not going to put him in a Batman movie. He's not going to be in a movie with a lot of money writing on it necessarily. But if you're looking for prestige and you want a good actor, you know, some directors might want to cast him. I mean, look at Roman Polanski.
Right.
Roman Polanski is still working. You know, he's still winning Oscars years later after admitting to raping a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
So in this industry, your work speaks for itself, you know, and time heals all wounds.
And Casey Affleck can't be Batman because his brother is already Batman.
That is true. So he could be Robin, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
He could be Batman's brother. You never hear about Batman's brother.
What would his name be? Batboy?
Wayne.
Right. Wayne.
Wayne.
Okay, we're talking to Jason Nathanson from ABC, and Joe wanted to jump in with a comment about the Casey Affleck. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Wendy. Hey, I was just, you know, we're getting all wrapped up about what Casey Affleck may or may not have done. He wasn't nominated for Man of the Year. He was nominated for Best Actor, and that's what he should be judged at.
I mean, yes, that's...
I kind of agree with that.
That's ultimately how he was judged. But, again, this is a huge stage, and you are, you know, like it or not, Hollywood influences kids, it influences culture, it influences a lot of things. And who we choose to celebrate is part of that. So some people would, you know, there's two sides to this. Some people would say you're choosing to celebrate a guy who's not a good guy and does not deserve to have a special place in this industry. And others say,
but you're not celebrating him as a good guy. You're celebrating him as a good actor, and he's recognized that by his peers in the Academy. But anyway, it's not a Father of the Year or Best Man of the Year. What he's being celebrated for.
I would still have a hard time, Joe, applauding for or rooting for a guy that I knew was involved. I'll give you a quick example. Aroldis Chapman of the Cubs last year was involved in some domestic abuse cases. There wasn't a single time last year, as much as I love the Cubs and wanted them to win the World Series, I didn't applaud for him. I didn't cheer for him. I don't like him. I'm glad he's gone.
Was he found guilty of these?
Settled out of court.
Okay, but that's not admitting guilt.
Exactly.
I mean, if it is, you know, I don't know. And Jason, as you pointed out, we don't know. We're not big celebrities like that where sometimes you just want to make it go away. I just know if I was committed of some crime that I didn't commit, if I was convicted of or accused of, I would sit there every day going, I didn't do it. What do I have to do
Fight
to show
it.
You
yeah.
I didn't do it?
Yeah.
Well, and it goes to the heart of it. Yes, we're not celebrating him for Man of the Year, Father of the Year, or Employer of the Year even, but there's something that goes to the heart of who gets roles in Hollywood. And these people who are accused of things or did things, let's say he did it, and people knew that he has this reputation.
Yeah.
These people are then being paid to and given high-profile roles that other actors are not given the chance to get, and they're also trying to make money on. When you make a movie, you're hoping that you're going to make money. You don't try to lose money. So you're picking somebody who has some kind of box office cachet or that people are going to go see. So if there's a cloud around that person and people aren't going to go see them, you're not going to pick them. They're not going to make money.
That's a good point. Joe, we got to run.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Great show.
Thank you. Jason, not you. Are you good? Can you hang on for a second and we'll wrap up with you?
Absolutely.
All right. Cool.
Jason Nathanson from ABC News. We're talking entertainment. We'll be back in a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You've been really working on your vocal lessons.
Well, thank you, Wendy. I'm glad you noticed that. Jason Nathanson joins us from ABC News. There's a new version of Beauty and the Beast coming out, a live-action version based on the cartoons, because that's what Disney does now is they take cartoons and they make live-action versions or the opposite. They just do one or the other. It's really ingenious. But this version is interesting for a new kind of way. Jason, please explain.
This is Beauty and the Beast, and it's coming out in a couple of weeks, so we're getting our first kind of glimpses at it. The cast is on a massive press tour. They were in Shanghai yesterday. They're going to be in Hollywood tomorrow night for the premiere. And one of the things that's come out about the movie in an interview with Attitude Magazine, director Bill Condon, said LaFoe, which is a character played by Josh Gad, he's Gaston's sidekick, and he said that LaFoe is somebody who one day wants to be Gaston and the other day wants to kiss Gaston.
Oh.
So saying that LaFoe is probably gay, he doesn't come right out and say that. But if that's true, this would be the first gay character from Disney. And then he elaborated a little more and says the film will go further than that with, quote, a nice, exclusively gay moment.
Oh.
Now, this is a kids' movie, so I'm not sure exactly what that means. Maybe a kiss, maybe, you know, something like that. Don't, you know, nothing dirty, whatever you're thinking out there. But this would be, you know, this is a first for Disney, who have had, I mean, character after character after character that was assumed to be gay.
Mr. Smee.
Yeah.
What was that from?
From Peter Pan.
He was?
I think so, yeah.
And I think some have said Tinkerbell also
maybe.
From the movie was maybe a lesbian. Ursula from Little Mermaid was based on drag queen. So, I mean, you had that kind of imagery, but it's never been necessarily overt. So this would be the first one that was overt. And so we're going to have the premiere tomorrow in Hollywood. And so I will be asking people about that and we'll get some more definitive answers.
I cannot wait to see the reaction because this is just my own opinion, but kids don't care.
I don't think
it's like
do.
The people who are older who are kids see this more frequently than we did when we were growing up. So I don't think there's going to be an issue.
I'll tell you this much. Kids don't care who are straight. Kids who are gay, that means a lot to them. To see somebody who is like them represented in this industry of entertainment, which doesn't represent them at all. So if you have a little kid who, you know, and they say for a lot of kids, they know very, very early on that they're gay. So to see somebody who represents them on the screen, who is like them on the screen, doesn't make it weird to be like them. And for other kids to see something like that and for that to become normalized, I think would help a lot of kids who are gay.
And Jason, Disney is one of the most gay-friendly, not just movie companies, but gay-friendly companies in America. I mean, they're extremely as friendly as can be, right?
absolutely, very early on with benefits for partners.
Yeah.
With encouraging that environment and hiring people in all sorts of different places, from engineering of the parks to the creative process of the movies, has long been very, very gay friendly. And to, I mean, to opening up the parks in Disneyland to have gay days at Disneyland and Disney World.
Yeah.
And that's long been a thing. So it's interesting that it's taken this long. And you're right. I think for a kids movie, there's no, like, to bring in, some would say, you know, that's bringing in a certain kind of sexuality that may not be necessary. But in all the movies, the guys and the girls are kissing. The
yep.
princesses and the princesses are kissing, you know. So, you know, why not have a little bit of that?
Even in ABC, for people who don't know, is owned by Disney. ABC on Once Upon a Time, their TV show, some of the Disney princesses in that are gay, aren't they?
You know, that's a good question.
How often do you watch that, Bill?
I've never seen it, but I've read about it, that they've made a couple of the characters on that show gay that haven't traditionally been.
I don't know. I know this would be the first in the movies. And yeah. I think they have a Frozen character on that. And a lot of people have said, yep. I don't know which one. I think it's Elsa that they say is a lesbian. I actually asked one of the heads of Disney Animation about that last year, because there was a rumor that in Frozen 2 that she is actually going to be a lesbian, mm-hmm. or a female love interest. And they said, you know, interesting. They haven't decided on anything about that yet.
How about that? Well, Jason, we appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining us. Big stories coming out of Hollywood. So thanks so much.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thank you.
That's Jason Nathanson from ABC News.
I like him.
He's a good guy. Isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy. Oh, you know who's coming by? Or actually, we're talking to him on the phone. Is Doc Emmerich, our friend Doc Emmerich.
I can't wait.
Who is one of hockey's best. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, tonight, you already have one of the marquee matchups in all the NHL. You have your Chicago Blackhawks and your Pittsburgh Penguins, two of the best teams. But then on top of that, you have our friend Doc Emmerich calling the game. What else would you want in a hockey game? Doc joins us right now by way of the telephone. How are you, Doc?
I'm good. I'm at the United Center, and representative of having listened to the last hour of the show,
yes.
sitting okay. in the first row behind the penalty box.
We should be in there.
I just ran into Ro and Anna. They're out here because their show starts after yours, of course. I have a grasp of the obvious. And I said, you guys got a challenge today because you're going to have to keep up with what's been done. I explained to them the grass between the fingers.
Yes.
I will add that my brother could do it and I could not.
Is that true?
There's some kind of a mouth formation that you either can do it or you can't, I'm yeah. convinced. But I could never, I tried it, but I never could do
it. Hard to pull that off.
I played the flute when I was younger, so maybe that has something to do with it. But you're not referring to Bill making the whippoorwill sound with his hands.
Yeah.
He's been working on it all afternoon.
I'm so embarrassed, Doc. I've been trying for an hour. I can't get it to work.
When did you find a Kleenex?
Doc, does any team in the NHL have a sponsor for the penalty box? Because I think WGN should sponsor the penalty box with Wendy and my name on it. Wouldn't that be a cool thing?
It might not be a bad idea. I'm just looking over here. In some arenas, it is, in fact, sponsored, and it tends to be by insurance companies with little geckos on it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it is Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh,
that little Bob, that guy, cartoon Bob.
Animated Bob.
It's got the panels right behind where the guys sit down to look ashamed.
Yep.
Lucky little Bob. That's a great idea, though,
Bill.
By the
way, just to report in one other thing, Stan Bowman is currently holding a press conference, and I got in on the first 20 minutes of it because it began a little after 2. A little after 2:30, and he mentioned that the Blackhawks are done, that the Oduya deal is the only one. You may have already reported that, but I just wanted...
Apparently there was an embargo on that.
That would be the sound check that is probably starting now. If it continues to go on, I will move into the hallway. But yeah, the Oduya deal is the only one.
All right, so Johnny Oduya coming back. We didn't know that any trades were going to happen. The deadline was quickly approaching. And Johnny Oduya back on the Blackhawks at 35 years of age, still playing strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Because you can never have too many defensemen if you're planning on winning the Stanley Cup. It's a run that tends to beat you up. And conservatively, if you look at this at training camp, most teams require
anywhere from 10 to 14 defensemen to get through an entire year just because of the attrition through injury and sometimes through fatigue, especially if it's an Olympic year or the schedule is compressed. And this year it's compressed because of the bye. Next year it will be compressed either because of the Olympics or because the bye might kick in again, that five-day period that's mandatory where the players are not to report for practice or be anywhere near the rink. And so with that, the schedule gets crunched a bit, and the Blackhawks and the Penguins are both playing 16 games in 31 days in the month of March. So you do go through people. And to get through the 8 weeks that it takes to win the Stanley Cup, you need people. And to have veteran presence and to have somebody that on a very offensive team can not only generate offense but protect, that's a good thing.
Doc, what do you
They did good here.
What do you make of this? The Blackhawks have done this three or four times now in the last five seasons. They have reacquired a player who played with them once before. What do you make of that? Other teams will do that from time to time, but like I said, the Blackhawks have done it three or four times in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's a known commodity. The coach knows what they are going to get from a player like that. And as Stan was saying about 15 minutes ago, we had investigated or we'd been interested in getting Johnny back before, but the price was different. And this time we got a price that we could live with. So we made the deal.
Excellent. Welcome back, Johnny Oduya. Glad to have you.
Absolutely. Hjalmarsson is not playing tonight.
He's on the IR. Now, it's not published in our game notes, but I learned from some of the daily print reporters when I got to practice this morning that even though it's not published in the notes, that he did go on the IR today. So I looked for it last night because when it's a did not dress in that column, and you think Hjalmarsson's, if he's able to play, he's going to play. So he didn't dress the last game, and he's on the IR now. So that's all the more reason. Johnny will not play tonight, by the way.
Yeah, but when does he come back?
All the more reason to have that help. I would expect that he would be able to play in the next game, but I'm not sure yet. That may have been a part of the conversation I didn't hear with Stan just a little bit ago.
All right, and this is just an observation from me, a new Blackhawk fan, new, I guess, 3 years ago. But Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, in my opinion, and no offense to them, it seems like it takes them a while to warm up, and now they're on fire. Any truth to that in your opinion?
When I first broke into this in 1973, it was players who were 28, 29, and 30 that used to tell me, the second half is our best half. Now, I was in the minors at the time, and those guys weren't going anywhere. They were staying right in the minor leagues, but they used to say that. I don't know, but I know one thing, that those two guys are playing so much better, and particularly Jonathan Toews, and the team is going so much better. Earlier in the year, and I trust Eddie Olczyk with anything that pertains to the Blackhawks, he said, this team will go as those players will carry them, and those players are carrying them really well right now. And as Stan was pointing out a little bit ago, the younger players in the last month or so have performed really well. When you win 9 out of 10 in a month and you're the hottest team in the league right now, and you're averaging over 4 goals a game in a league where getting 3 to 3.25 goals a game is really good, you're doing fine. So this is one of those, it seems like almost every time I wind up talking with you, the Blackhawks are in a really good time in their lives, and right now is one of them. And by the way, Wendy, you want to come out and work?
Why? What do you need me to do?
Well, I don't know. I just know that you're backgrounded pretty well.
I'm getting better at
going to work the rest of the hour on this other project. Why?
Do it, Wendy.
One of these times, we really do need to get you up in the booth just to see. Have you been up there before?
I have not been up there before, and I'd probably clam
you need to
up.
Get up there so you can see what. Picture the John Hancock building about halfway up. Looking down at the choppers down below. It's not that bad, but it's a thrilling place to be, and the red jerseys with the white numbers aren't that bad. So I think you do just fine.
Doc, have you ever frozen up? Has there ever been a time during a game where all of a sudden something happens and you're just not thinking clearly enough to call the game?
Yeah, I've done 3,500 games. There have probably been 3,500 occasions like that. Sure you do. Yeah, I guess because it's television, you kick yourself when those moments happen. But yeah, those things do occur. If I were calling horse races, I think there would probably be a lot
greater penalty for that because of people wanting to break your arm. But no, once in a while those things happen, it's 2.5 hours of conversation, and you have two other people to work with that can be there and share the 2.5 hour load with you. But yeah, every once in a while, I know I pointed out at one time when Brad Richards left and went to Detroit, he was 91 and Hossa was 81. And from that distance and that height, sometimes the numbers would get confused. And you pause a moment and you either pound the table or kick yourself and you realize it is a human endeavor and you just became human again.
Yeah.
And you have to move on because if you let it get in your head, then you're going to mess up the whole rest of the game.
Yeah, and you don't want to, I did actually in my lifetime, I did two figure skating shows with Scott Hamilton as an announcer, and I learned a lot from Scott. And one of the things he used to always tell when figure skaters would agonize at the end of a performance about one mistake they made, don't sell your mistakes. Don't sell your
right.
mistakes. And so that's the thing that you try not to do. It bothers you, but you don't sell your mistakes.
Doc, here's why I've always thought that hockey is the hardest of the sports to call. Tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. It's the only sport where players are continuously leaving the playing field, and I don't know how, if you're watching the action of wherever the puck is, you're mindful enough to also watch which personnel are coming on the ice and which are leaving the ice. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, well, practice helps, but depending upon the arena and the uniform color and all of that, you can sometimes pick them up and sometimes not. But the one thing that does tend to happen is that although they are making a couple of changes in the third and fourth lines tonight, that the guys do tend to stay together, especially when those combinations work. And I guess we're going to see Schmaltz playing with Taves for quite some time now, aren't we?
Yeah,
I think so. The way that's worked out has worked out really well.
Yeah.
And usually if somebody hits the boards and glass and it hurts, well, that's usually Richard Panik is somewhere nearby and you can take the number 14 down. It's just part of, it really is a joy because you get to see two good teams here again tonight. And, in a perfect world, sometime with these lineups, it'd be wonderful to see best of seven.
Yeah.
We can't cheer for anything. But when you look at the two lineups tonight, you just think, wouldn't it be something if they played best of seven sometime? Mm. And probably by the time we got to game six, we'd be wanting best of nine.
Well, I don't know if there's another player in the NHL who's as close to Jonathan Taves as Sidney Crosby is. They're very similar, aren't they?
They are. And I think, too, the thing that we have researched, it's interesting you came up with that because it crossed my mind, too. And I asked our researchers at NBC to figure out the number of playoff goals scored by both and what percentage of those goals either tied the game or broke a tie. In other words, they were when the going's tough kind of goals.
Yeah.
And in both cases, it was well over half.
How about that? That's an amazing
that's
stat.
That's what these two guys are made of. And they'll probably wind up taking the opening faceoff against one another tonight. And it'll just, after the anthem, it'll just be a part of the magic of the evening. And I looked up one other thing because, we oftentimes talk about what a magnificent transformation this has been. And in a way, I'm giving away something that we have saved for tonight. But why not? Because there may be people that won't watch tonight. I went back 10 years ago today,
mm-hmm.
March the 1st of 2007. Colorado was a very good team. The Blackhawks were not. Colorado came in here and won 6-1 in this very building in which I'm sitting. And they had 10,500 people.
Wow.
10 years ago. Tonight, there'll be 22.
Mm-hmm. And if the place held more, they'd put more in.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess it's a good thing because there'll be some people watching on television and, of course, listening to John and Troy.
No doubt about it. No doubt.
All right, so Johnny Oduya probably will be back by the next Blackhawks game. Number 27, I believe he was on the Blackhawks. Is anybody using his number? Does he get to come back and use the same number?
I would think so, yes.
I can't think if anybody's using it.
I checked that on the roster today. And there are longtime Blackhawks fans that have greater access than I that would probably go back a couple of years since Johnny left and know that somebody else had used that. But there's no one that's listed on the roster this year that has. And oftentimes when a guy returns to a team, if that number's available, it becomes his, sure.
That's good to know.
It's very good to know. Doc, you can stick around for...
Yeah, especially if you have an Odoo your jersey.
Right. That is very good news.
My son Dylan is hoping that Andrew Shaw comes back. Cause
and
we
I keep
have
hoping
that.
Jim Pappin comes back. Is there any chance of that, Doc, do you think?
Well, he might be here for a special night to drop the puck.
All right. I'll wear that jersey then. Doc, you can stick around for a few minutes?
Sure.
Excellent. The great Doc Emmerich joining us calling tonight's Hawks game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder joined by our friend Doc Emmerich, the great Doc Emmerich calling the game on television tonight as our Blackhawks square off against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Doc, another thing that I know you have to be well-schooled on, and I'm sure you study for this, is you got to pronounce people's names, guys' names, from all over the world. That's got to be tough. Has there ever been a name that, as hard as you tried, you just couldn't get the name right?
Sergei Krivokrasov, who played here in Chicago for a while, was hard because, you know, it'd come to him quickly and it'd leave him quickly. Usually the puck, and sometimes the way he'd skate, he was pretty quick.
Yep.
But there was one that you get a mental block over, and a former actor, one of the guys that I worked alongside named Bill Clement, helped me with it, Sergei Nemchinov. And for some reason or other, I couldn't say it without Nemchinov. And why it was a mental block, I don't know. And he just said, say Nemnov, Nemnov, Nemnov. I could do that. And he said, then why can't you say Nemchinov? And so I started doing it. Sure enough, he brought me out of... I was no longer slicing my drives. Let's put it that way. He took me to school.
Beautiful.
We get to see Scott Darling tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
Scott will be in goal. And they always encourage us to tell stories. And so if you have time, like a half minute, here's one from Scott's past. Minor league stories are always fun because there's nothing pretentious about the minor league. So he's playing for a team in the ECHL. They play in Wheeling, West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And they have one day to get to Kalamazoo, Michigan for another game. So they leave Wheeling the next day, and they break down. The bus breaks down near Columbus, Ohio. So they're out on the expressway, not far from Columbus, and the bus driver says, this is not a problem. You guys get some shut-eye, and by the time you wake up, we're going to be fine. It was late at night,
yeah.
So it was after the game in Wheeling. So anyway, they drifted off to sleep, and they woke up, and the bus still hadn't moved. It was a major problem. So they sat, and they sat, and finally the guys were hungry because it was the next morning. So they hiked a mile or so to a nearby convenience store, wiped the guy out. I mean, they bought potato chips, donuts, anything that they could buy to take back to the bus, and they were still there for a good share of the rest of the day. Mm. They finally got the bus working. They wheeled into Kalamazoo the day of the game. The fans were waiting. It was 10 o'clock at night. The game was supposed to start at 7, and the Professional Hockey Players Association that governs minor league hockey said that they couldn't play the game because they'd been on the road too long and they had played too long. So anyway, that was the bizarre bus situation that Scott Darling had as a part of his past.
Wow.
He's still a very young man, and he can write a book someday on some of the things that happened in the low minor leagues traveling around. And he's such a good guy. He loves the Cubs.
Yeah.
And he got his reward.
Yeah, we're so happy. Wendy and I have had him on the show. Such a nice guy. We're thrilled for him.
There's so many good people in this sport, and you wear the jersey of one of them, Wendy.
Duncan
Keith. And your
Keith.
Husband wears the jersey of another.
Marian Hossa.
Yeah. This morning at the morning practice, there was a woman here from Slovakia who was a good friend of Marian's mother. And so he has people visiting from Slovakia all the time, and he was very cordial, of course, to them, and they were enjoying themselves immensely sitting here watching NHL players practice this morning. There's so much of that goes on that, of course, is just a part of being a good family guy. And Dennis Rasmussen's aunt and uncle from Sweden are here.
Awesome.
And all of these visits take place during these rare times when the guys are actually at home and can be civil and still go to work.
That's so nice.
It's got to be fun to be associated with a professional athlete, I would think, especially guys that are as nice as these guys are.
Doc, when a player comes over from another country, are the people who are still, their family members who are still in that country, are they thrilled that they've come to the United States and they're seeking their fortune in the U.S., or do they wish they were still home making a name for themselves in local hockey?
It's a good question, Bill. I think the majority of them are just happy to see their son get to do what they've always wanted to do.
and whether Dennis had the aspirations of being in the Swedish elite league, but then realized that, hey, this is the number one league in the world. The best athletes from all over the world play here. And now he's in the lineup tonight, playing on one of the best teams, the hottest team in the league. And I'm sure that his parents are very proud. And his aunt and uncle are going to be sitting in the stands. I mean, I'm sure they couldn't be prouder than being here in North America in Chicago.
Perfect.
In a house of 22,000 people, a rocking house tonight watching their son play.
Yep.
It will be a rocking house tonight. Blackhawks, Penguins, Doc Emmerich calling the game along with Eddie O. And say hi to Roe and Anna because they're going to be broadcasting live before the game coming up next. It's a pleasure to talk to you as usual.
Always fun. I'm going to go out and get a blade of grass and take it into them and see if they can keep this going.
Thank you.
You guys have had a great time today, and it was hilarious.
Oh, thank you, Doc.
Thanks,
we love
Doc.
You. Good job tonight.
Yeah, be good.
All right. Take care, Doc. The great Doc Emmerich. One of the best that's ever been when it comes to calling a hockey game. We'll take a quick break and then find out what's coming up next with Rowan Anna. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's going to be a great game tonight.
Blackhawks,
Penguins. Oh, boy. We've got a reverb here. I think that's covered.
You fixed it.
All right. I didn't do any. Rokan and Anna DeVlantis are live in action at the United Center.
There we go.
Hey, guys.
Are we there? Are we?
Can you hear us?
We can hear you.
Us,
yes.
Us.
I cannot hear myself, but that's okay.
Tonight, I consider myself
yes.
the luckiest man.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel. Hey, by the way, I just want to point out that when we were walking, we ran into Doc Emmerich.
Yes.
On the way into the stadium, I know he mentioned that when he was talking to you, and all he wanted to talk to us about was you guys.
Yeah, the grass game.
Yeah, the
really?
Grass thing. I mean, he was laughing while he was telling the story.
He said, "You guys."
Then he's like, "I don't know how they come up with it," and I'm like, "You're Doc Emmerich. What do you mean you don't know how they come up with it?"
He's the guy. If anyone, we don't know how he comes up with it. It's Doc
right.
Emmerich. I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No. So totally true. I mean, that is so funny.
Totally
so,
complimentary.
Yeah. It was good. Oh, okay.
Thank you for saying that.
Maybe if we came up with something, we wouldn't talk about grass in our hands.
Right, maybe.
Well, I think that's the beauty of what Doc was.
There was one point when I walked over to get like one of the free media sandwiches, and I was talking to Doc, and he said, "Well, I want to tell you what Wendy said." He said, "But you're eating, so I won't."
Oh boy!
I still don't know what that was, but maybe I should just ask about that later.
Yeah. I don't want to. I don't know that I want to know, but I. But he. So you can, because we're eating now, because we just decided that we just started complaining to the United Center. Hey, by the way, we're going to talk about this coming up. They just today opened up the annex. They had the big press conference where the new where the Jordan statue, not a new Jordan statue, but the original Jordan statue is now indoors here, and it's open to the public like every day where people can come in and get their picture with it. And there's a ticket office and restaurants and a swag store and all that.
Right. They're going to have a nightclub over there.
Nice.
A special entrance. You can hang out during the game.
Yeah, wow. Nightclub. I'm not quite sure. Was that the VIPs?
There is a nightclub. John McDonough was telling me about it. I was talking to him out there at the atrium. Exactly. Uncha. And then you can watch the Blackhawks game. At the same time.
Wow. Well, who knew?
That'll be
great. And then you take your picture with the Jordan statue, and the whole thing is it's cognitive dissonance. I don't understand that. I don't get it. But it was just because every time I see Doc Emmerich, it's like you stop and you go, oh, my God.
Right. That's
Doc Emmerich.
Yeah. He's that good. He's that special.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a hockey fan, he's Bob Costas times Harry Carey. Right,
it's poetry more than it is calling a game.
Right.
It's like he's just spewing poetry. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah. Good way to say it. That's true.
Divided by Milo Hamilton, though.
Right.
Did I mention that? I think I mentioned that.
Divided by Milo Hamilton.
Right, you have to divide by Milo Hamilton. But that's what. But that's what he is. He's just such a special and rare broadcaster, and to be able to pull that off in hockey, as you pointed out. I mean, we're very blessed to have him, but we also have two great guys calling for the Chicago Blackhawks as well, the best of the best.
Oh yeah, we're lucky.
No question.
All right. Well, and tonight, as Doc I think just alluded to, I think this is a Stanley Cup Finals preview that you're going to see here tonight at the United Center. That's all I'm going to say.
That makes sense. Those are two of the best teams in hockey.
Yep. I'm a little ahead of myself, and Wendy wants to shoot herself right now. So, Wendy, you go home.
All right. Go Blackhawks.
Yes, thank
Welcome
you very
back,
much.
Oduya.
Have a good time tonight, guys.
Johnny Oduya.
Thank you.
Oh, don't
Oduya.
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, sweet mother of God.